Somebody should do it soon. And give me a nice cutaway point.
Welcome to episode 87 of Crippled System.
Wow. Boop.
The boop sold it. Well done.
Thank you.
That was an impressive voice you did too, Katie. I didn't know you could go that deep. the go that deep thing with the double meaning. That's why you're giggling.
Mm-hmm. I would never.
Go that deep?
Exit only.
No, what are you talking about? What do you mean double meaning?
Well, because like there's scuba diving, mm-hmm. where you can go really deep and then you get the bends and whatnot, and that's bad.
No, that's when you go back up.
That's true. You can go as deep as you want and you won't get the bends as long as you never come up.
Ever.
Yeah.
Because corpses can't get the bends.
What's the bends?
Bends is if you surface too quickly,
the
oxygen in your blood expands and it's painful.
Like real bad.
Yeah. Or if you're on an episode of House and you go scuba diving and then you ride an airplane and House is really confused how a guy in the airplane is sick, the guy in the airplane has the bends.
Yep. It's a good episode.
Yeah. He figures it out because he's going to amputate his leg, so he has somebody like hold his legs down, but the pressure on his joints makes the guy's pain go away, and that's a symptom of the bends.
I don't think we've actually gotten that one yet.
We haven't.
Spoiler, that guy has the bends.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler, it wasn't lupus.
And who are you?
I'm Nathan.
This is Katie, Bad Horse on the Forums. I play video games. Or, I do not play video games.
You play video games?
Board games. I play Candy Crush and then get mocked.
And Clash of Clans.
Actually, speaking of Candy Crush, I might quit.
Oh. Yay!
I got to a level that I can't beat.
Just give him money.
I can't give him enough
money. Even with money.
Yeah, War Machine Weekend's coming up. You can have Carl try to beat it for you.
He'll get it first try.
I hope so. He already beat it. I saw him.
Your mom got past it, too.
Yeah, my mom almost gave up completely, and she didn't.
She was stuck on it for a while.
I don't think I can beat it.
It is very stressful watching you play that level. I'm Jeremy, Valiant 418 on the forums. I play Destiny.
I'm Andy, and I play Mercenaries, and I sometimes play Destiny.
I forgot to say this. If our listeners all chip in, and I think like a buck a piece will do it easily, I'll buy a PS4 and play Destiny
if
with you guys.
Give me money for
PS4. I really think you're underestimating
or how many listeners.
Overestimating how many listeners. Your Destiny.
And if we don't get enough for PS4, we'll just buy like we'll go
hookers and blow.
Hooker
and
blow. For the PS4.
Whatever money I get, I will spend that on the closest thing to a PS4 I can get.
Even if it's an Atari.
Yeah. You give me $10, I'll get like the little joystick that plugs directly into the TV that just plays Pac-Man that you can get at Toys R Us.
FYI, for those of you listeners out there, we did create a Crippled System clan/group. If you go to the Bungie website, you can sign up. You have to sign up twice because of the way they set it up. Once to join the group, and then you have to set it as your PlayStation or Xbox clan. It's a PlayStation clan. So if you try to set it as your Xbox clan, I said that you could, but no one's tried it yet. So I don't know if that will work for you or not.
Well, you should play with the superior system then.
Well, obviously.
Yeah.
But I think it will allow you to join it as either kind of clan. And once you're all the way into the clan, there are benefits for going and hunting things together with other people in your clan. There are like unique rewards for hunting with your clan, apparently.
Do you get to unlock the version where Peter Dinklage acts well?
I actually really enjoy Peter Dinklage.
There are some points where he is pretty dull, but there are times where you can tell, like,
I know.
Yeah, but it was sometimes he's like, look out. Oh no.
Yeah, that does happen.
Bad guys.
I should clarify, I'm level 22 in the game, which is past the max level. I've geared to 22, and I have reached, for those of you that played the game, I've done the first mission on Venus, is as far as I've gotten in the storyline.
So far behind.
So I, like, barely played the story.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's how you do it. Like,
I just played PvP.
There's side quests and shit, too, right?
I've done some of the side quests, too. I have done the treasure cave.
Oh, you just mostly do PvP?
But I've mostly done PvP. The treasure cave did gear me up a little bit.
Further than you in the game?
In the storyline.
In the storyline.
Yes.
Interesting. Well, because I was going to say, it's not PvP, obviously, but Oblivion. I played Oblivion for, I'm sure, 400 or 500 hours of gameplay between all the characters of Oblivion and everything. I've literally... So, in Oblivion, you break out of jail, and then you go to this monastery to meet up with somebody to ask... I've never done the monastery. I've never,
never gone to the monastery.
Literally, in... months of real time playing that game, I've never gone to the monastery. I break out and it's like, cool, side quests.
Katie and I played Skyrim for weeks or months, and one day we were playing and I accidentally beat it. because we were just like doing stuff and doing stuff, whatever. And then it's like, oh, we're fighting this dragon. Okay, so we're fighting this dragon, and things happen, and then other dragons, spoiler alert, help you fight the big giant dragon, and then things happen. And
I
then
think it was you're just thinking like, of the ending of How to Train Your Dragon.
No, that's a different.
Okay,
but that is also true. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, you beat it, and I was like, oh.
Oops.
And then we kind of stopped playing.
The thing in Skyrim, which is different from Oblivion, is you want to do like the first hour or two of quests because you want to unlock the random dragons. If you don't do a certain quest, you don't unlock the dragon. And the world, random dragons are so amazing in that game that you have to like do the first hour with
them. I like random dragons when they have the voice replaced by Macho Man.
There are
Randy
so many
Savage
mods to make those.
There are a bunch of great mods.
Yeah. Not just the voice. He totally has his head and everything. No, oh, that's great though. Just the
that's what I like. I've seen videos of it just like you hear it off in the distance of Macho Man like ranting and then and then he's just flying over and like oh my god
and then Dragon Lance just like beefy spice and breathes fire at you. It's great.
That's pretty fun.
It's good stuff.
But yeah, so Destiny, feel free to join the clan, Crippled System, but it's very fun.
Left 4 Dead 2 mod as well had Macho Man as all the zombies, so all the zombie noises were all replaced by Macho Man. So it was like a whole crowd of Macho Men chasing after you. It's like, oh yeah, snap into it, and just all chasing down.
My roommate was playing Destiny today, and they were attempting the endgame raid.
Yeah, they were doing the heroic for the week.
They were doing the raid. I thought they were doing the rant to heroic.
Oh, they were doing the glass.
I thought they were doing the actual raid, but
they might have been.
There's a section in there where you literally it turns into a platform where you have to go from thing to thing to thing, and all the things you jump from are vanishing.
Oh my goodness!
And I was just watching them just die again and again and again and again.
That's my shit right there.
That's Mega Man.
Yeah, they added a platforming element to the raid. Huh. It was weird.
That's crazy. Right.
And so they were not getting
I'd be so excited. I'd be playing, I'm playing first person. Oh, it's like Super Meat Boy now.
So yeah, you can't even queue for that at my gear level yet.
So, Brian, you're not playing Destiny at that point then?
Well, I was like, yeah. You know, some games, I don't know. Certain games have jumping, I can do it. It's over time, I get better at jumping. I don't know why. Hello.
Well, the other thing was, depending on the class you're playing in Destiny, it can be easier or harder to do those jumps, too. Because there's, like, some class, like my class, you jump and then you kind of glide through the air, which would make it a little bit easier. And then there's other other classes or bonuses you can pick, even for my class, where it's like you jump, and then if you hit jump again, instead of, like, gliding gently, you teleport forward. Fixed distance.
And I have a triple jump, basically.
Yeah, or like something like that. So like some of the different classes could be really screwed trying to do that platformer part. Like I could just see myself having the teleport and I'm just like, oh, yep, I'm off the edge.
I got to play with Paddles from Australia yesterday. That was pretty cool. Nice. That was a nice thing. I chat with him online all the time and I was actually able to talk to him. That was neat. It was more chatty than killing, but it was, you know.
I really like the audio feature that's on the PlayStation controller, though. With the mic and that, were you able just to plug that in directly there?
I used to have USB, so mine
could. Yeah, I have a USB headset from the box, but I've had that for a while.
Or you
have
Bluetooth.
My Turtle Beach headset works just fine.
You can pair a Bluetooth to it as well.
Can you? I haven't tried that.
Some you can't. It depends on the model.
Yeah. Oh, mine just has a like a little plug-in.
Yeah, well, I have that too. I just don't use it.
I mean, the one in the box is a little, it's an earplug. I have an actual headset where I put it out.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, it's really fun. I was chatting with, and the thing is you can chat in a PS4 group without being playing together at all. Like, I was chatting with Jordan and JR and our Jordan and then JR and Alex from Springfield, and I wasn't even doing the same thing they were. We were just, like, chatting because we were just in a PS4 chat group. And they were like, you know, you can't play with us because we're queuing for something and you're too low level. And I was like, all right, well, I guess we can chat for a minute. But, yeah.
Stop being so low level.
I'm trying.
Noob.
22 is a little embarrassing.
I'm only 20, but I've been playing board games all weekend, so.
Yeah, I didn't play much board games. I played a little bit this weekend of the Destiny, but not any board games.
Speaking of which, I've reached the point, speaking of playing board games all weekend, I reached the point in our current game of Small World where several people attacked me to their own detriment instead of doing other things, and I think that was my punishment for winning the last game.
I wasn't even in the last game. I'm like, I'll attack Nathan.
Yeah.
I don't even know what people are doing because Brian taught me how to fast forward through that game.
Yeah.
Keep fast forwarding and then I get.
The fast forward, but I look where my guys are. I hit fast forward, and as long as my guys are still there, they don't care. I don't care what's going on.
Like Brian is like Forest Gypsies or something. Maybe not Forest. He's some thing, and like he, instead of attacking empty spaces / spaces with one of the old race on there and everything, he scooped all his guys and attacked two total spaces of mine because I was triple stacked trolls, and he's like, I'll just use all 10 of my guys to take two of Nathan's spots. Fuck
I didn't
it
see that.
And yeah, then I also, and then Billy did the same thing. Oh yeah, I'm gonna lose this game because
be
it was
careful
big
when Billy's like the eye of Sauron. When his gaze is upon you, you're fucked.
That is true.
He doesn't understand it's okay to stop. He just keeps speaking about going too deep. Billy loves going all the way. Billy goes deep whenever he can.
Okay, I declined, so I'm going to get the ship, the seafaring halflings, and I'm not going to fuck it up like Katie did. And I'm just going to end the game with the four immune territories from my seafaring halflings. That's my plan.
It's a good plan.
It would be fine.
And I'm Brian.
I'm not getting all the way across.
And my
good intro.
And my PS handle is BeGeezy. I got like 14 friends in the last like 3 days. It's like every time I'm playing games, like notification.
They're just online friends. They're not friends.
Nope, they're friends.
They count. Okay. He has more online friends than I do, I think.
I like the real ID feature, the PS4.
The real ID
feature.
It's
like
nice.
I got these logins. Like, who the fuck are these people? Then the real friend things. Oh, that's who it is.
Oh, that's who it is. Yeah, that is nice.
I'm not going to remember that shit.
Nice. Because I have no clue who any of the people on my PS3 are.
I didn't know who Alex was because I'm not going to just like announce his gamer handle. But Alex Schaefer like requested to be my friend. And I was like, sure, why not? You're probably just a listener or whatever. That's fine. And then like he like messaged me or something, and I was like, well, that's weird. I don't really know how to respond to that. And then he sent me a real name request. I was like, oh, that's Alex. I totally know who that is now. I felt kind of silly.
Then you unfriended him because he doesn't like Borderlands?
I am with him. I'm not going to play the prequel.
Well, I mean, we didn't respect you anyway.
That's
see,
true.
We had respect for him.
You had it.
But if you don't play with us, how will we know whose corpse to rally around?
That's true.
That was so handy, just you running ahead a quarter of a mile. I got this, guys! Valiant 418 has died. Oh, that's where the enemies are.
It's convenient. I will probably, I mean, I'm going to hard stop Destiny easily for Borderlands. I mean, I'll play Destiny and I'll continue to play, but there's no fucking way I can touch Destiny when Borderlands, the pre-sequel, comes out.
And that's what I figured. I figured most of you guys will drop. I think Alex and JR are still going to play Destiny. Jordan may play both. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna log in Destiny a little bit because I mean, but it's just Borderlands is such a better game on every level that I just need to.
I disagree.
Well, I mean,
Borderlands 2 is a fucking masterpiece.
I really enjoyed Borderlands 2, and I think Destiny is more fun.
Wow,
I like that you can actually play the game with snipers and long range guns. Like that's what actually appeals to me in a shooter. And in Borderlands, that is a just definitively suboptimal tactic. And when you're playing with a group, it's literally undoable because
you know what
I
hate in multiplayer FPSs?
As long range
snipers and long range shooting,
which is fine, but that's what I enjoy. So.
I will agree that sniping is not as good in Borderlands, but every other I love the fact that in Borderlands, like for my main guns, I have more than the three to choose from. I like that.
I think it's four, but yeah.
Well, a couple of them are pretty crappy. I like that. It's the variety.
Yeah, I haven't figured out how to do anything with a hand cannon yet. They seem just
terrible. I know how to miss things with it.
Oh, the regular pistol?
Yeah, as opposed
to... Oh, my God. I just tried testing it out once, and everything was dying.
I can't kill anything
almost
with that
one
thing.
Hit. Oh, my God. It was amazing. When you hit somebody in the head with it, they're pretty much dead.
If you punch someone,
they're dead. I mean,
no, that's not true in Destiny.
Well, it is in the single player, apparently, because Jordan was running around punching everybody, and they were just
if you're over-leveled for an area, that's true.
No, not even then. Just the little guys? Like
you're
the chaff. The chaff you can one-shot.
The knights and stuff like that are harder to take down with punches.
Yeah.
But anybody who's an upgrade.
Yeah, non-elites you can want. You can one or two shot easily.
One or two shot, yeah. I would agree. Unless you're playing like the really high end content.
Katie has moved from Candy Crush to Ticket to Ride.
That is true.
Here's to be fair, I heard this rant about Borderlands 2 last night in the car. So
I wasn't blaming you. I was just keeping people appraised.
I'm sorry your husband's wrong. Obviously we know you're on the right side. Yeah. At least but when Alex City did like Borderlands that much, I literally had to like walk away from my computer. I was like it's like he broke my heart. I was like, wow. I didn't realize I considered him a friend, and he was such an idiot.
Well,
I didn't realize.
Think about it. Think about it like this. What game is almost universally appraised as being a good game?
Well, yeah.
Borderlands 2. And what is Alex?
Yeah, he's a hipster.
A hipster. So therefore, can't like Borderlands.
His one argument was he didn't have friends to play with. And that game, which I still think is, I mean, not... He hasn't played Tiny Tina's DLC. I think you are less of a person for not experiencing that DLC.
I mean, it's obviously made for four. It shines like a diamond with four-player co-op and everything, but I enjoy playing it single-player.
Yeah. That's where I played majority of it was until the second surge of getting online players again. Yeah. But it was. I like the single-player a lot.
Oh, Tiny Tina's DLC.
Yeah.
Masterpiece.
I did enjoy Tiny Tina.
Three of the four DLCs are really, really good.
And then the other one's still fine. It's just not as...
It's just like compared to the other three. Like Hammerlock's Big Game Hunter, it's like, oh, okay, I guess this is good.
Yeah.
And that's different than like
the villain of Hammerlock's is actually probably one of my favorites out of all...
the final fight?
Yes. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Should we go into a War Machine topic for the fun of it?
We do have a couple of those.
Is it Arcadius' Theme Force?
No.
But you can talk about it
right now. Ah, Arcadius' Theme Force is so fucking good.
Nathan will be in his bunk.
It's so fucking good.
All right, we're done.
No, and it's great. Moving on. It's interesting from a game design standpoint, because this is totally something that they can do. I mean, they did it a little bit with the Vanguards and Zarkova's theme, and then they had the Bone Swarms and Midas's theme.
Iris.
Iris in Kruger 1's theme. And that's just really interesting, because it's almost who's the bossy in the overlapping different things.
I don't functionally have a problem with Arcadius Theme Forces, but what's weird to me is...
Bone Grinders with Caliban.
I don't have a problem with having different things in different factions, like you're saying. Like, I'm kind of cool with that for the Theme Forces. But when they take a model and they definitively change it, like, I was already a little weirded out when they had the alternate text for the Arcanist in a Rhett Theme Force. But when the Gorax has different abilities, well, one different ability.
Yeah, he gains one
ability. He gains Shield Guard that versus what he is in his own faction. Like, are they trying to say Gorax isn't good enough? Because in my opinion, Goraxes are damn fine beasts.
It's a Theme Force benefit.
I think that it's more like they trained them differently over in this faction than they do in Circle faction. You know what I mean?
Goraxes?
The Goraxes.
They've got to be
Goraxes carry sharks, and the sharks block the bullets.
Well, that's a great mod.
One guy's talking about me. Doesn't even play the game anymore.
But it's kind of similar to like the dogs that Butcher 2 has,
which are like our guy but different.
No, they are.
They are our guy.
Well, they are. Yeah. They are our guy but thematically, they're not the same as a light beast, obviously.
Correct. But I mean, it's basically where they were raised at.
So. Yeah, no, that's true.
So. But it's just an interesting design possibility with a lot of...
It opens up a lot.
Yeah.
And I like it. And I think it might be really terrifyingly good.
And in concept, it's actually super old. I mean, it's been around for a very, very long time. I don't remember what book he came out in, but hypothetically, it wasn't a Theme Force, but Magnus II, you could splash Warjacks into a Scorn army.
Yes.
Because Magnus II counts as a warlock in a multi-caster Scorn list. And so, I mean, that's just interesting. See what happens when you have a Scorn list with... I mean, hypothetically, you can make a Scorn list right now with a Galleon in it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not sure what that does, but it's fucking interesting.
Seems good.
It goes back even further than that, too, with Magnus, is where he's able to pull Signar troops out of the Signar forces.
Magnus 1?
Yeah.
Yeah, his... yes.
So you have trenchers. He can have long gunners.
Yes, he's allowed to bring like one unit. Signar unit. It was trenchers or long gunners.
You don't see it because Magnus. Because
Magnus won. But terrible,
it is. But it was around for a long time.
Huh. Yeah, it was around since Mark 1.
It was like pre Theme Force. It was actually because there was 4-star and there was Highborn and then there was Magnus. And Magnus had
agenda.
Yeah, Magnus' agenda, and it, like, he could bring Idrian skirmishers, or he could bring he had all these weird units that he could bring.
That's kind of cool.
And they got rid of that because in Mark II they just have Theme Forces. So both of his Theme Forces were originally different contracts in Mark I.
Yep.
That's kind of cool.
They were contracts with only one caster as a viable choice, so they were essentially Protozoic Theme Forces, but that's what they were.
Huh. Interesting.
Also, it's fucking amazing, and I'm going to play Arcadius so much. And it makes me mad. I look on the internet, and people are like, well, finally, this shitty, crappy, worthless, terrible caster is out of the shit pile because he's made of shit. Fuck you, Arcadius is amazing.
He all he gets is Gorax, and now he's amazing.
Yeah.
He was amazing before. A lot of people just didn't know it.
Yeah.
Or really even pay attention to it.
And they're like, well, finally, he can maybe crack armor because of Primal. Excuse you, he has Forced Evolution and Crippling Grasp already.
Yes.
So that's a 4-point swing. Like, he's cracking fucking armor. Calm down. Like, he always could. And it's like, well, you know, with... He just dies with Crippling Grasp because he goes forward and then he just dies because he's so close. If you can't, he's going to be 10 inches away from where your opponent's front line used to be. Because if you Crippling Grasp something and it still exists the next turn and it's able to kill your caster, you fucking suck. But that's not Arcadius's fault.
At the same time, you could be actually be doing it at 12 inches away because you have...
It's range 8. So it grinds up to 10.
My bad.
Oh, okay.
My bad.
It grinds up to 10. No. Yeah. But that's the thing. If you...
I grind up to 10.
Oh yeah! I think that's a masturbation reference. I'm not sure. It's either that or coffee or both.
I'm not even sure either. I just knew it sounded.
But yeah, if you're like running forward and trying to Crippling Grasp their support troops in the back, and then you're dying to their front line, well, that's not Arcadius's fault.
You walk 4 inches next to the Menoth Jack, and you Crippling Grasp to the vassal behind it.
Yeah,
got that vassal.
I got him now. Now he won't get a free attack off of me.
But to be fair, the Shield Guard does help a lot. He is squishy.
For him,
the Shield Guard is That's the what makes that list so good. Isn't that he got Argus's? Isn't that he got a fucking shield guard?
Reptile Hound should have shield guard.
No, they should not.
No.
Sorry. And Gorax's?
Oh, yeah, that's what I meant to say. Gorax. Thank you. I'm glad we had a circle player here.
Right? I did play a hilarious game against Reptile Hounds where Azul Force with Zadesh running four Reptile Hounds, I walked up to three of the Reptile Hounds with my Archangel, and then in three hits later, there were no more Reptile Hounds.
Well, yeah, they're going to die.
That was a delicious feeling.
That's the other cool thing about the Arcadius Theme Force is having like 20 points worth of free models.
Yep. Yeah. You just get a million Razor Boards, or Razor Boards, that's what they're called, right?
Yeah. He's actually the cheapest possible Tier 4 Theme Force as well. Midas was the cheapest with 11 points required. Now this only requires 10 points to be Tier 4.
It's just dumb.
I like how everyone was complaining about Circle not having Shield Guard, too. Because they have Shield Guard.
They do have a Shield Guard. He's only 4 points as well, isn't he?
And he's a fucking monster. And
he is a monster Shield Guard.
Is he 4 or is he 5? I don't know.
I think those little guys are 4.
He might be 4
or
5.
He might
be
4 or 5.
To the War Room.
The Aspis is 4. Right?
The Aspis is 4, yep.
Yeah. But that little guy, he can just absolutely do everything. He's been like, I got this point, boss. I'm not moving either. Fuck it.
And the gun hit that makes forests. I mean, also pretty good.
He's fucking just
great assassination vector thing with Baldur 1.
Yep. Yep. Very true.
Like, oh, that bushwhacker just turned into a forest. Oh, Baldur's there. Holy fuck.
So,
World the downside do is in now fact cost 5.
5, okay. Yeah.
They're still worth every point.
Oh, there, yeah, they're good.
The downside is now I have to buy 2 Gorax and another 2-pack of Razor Boars.
That's true.
So I will indeed have Gummo and Carl.
Nice.
Nice.
So,
what's the actual topic we got here?
We had an actual topic from, it was actually Travis's idea, but it's a good topic.
We're stealing a Zappity Grumble from today.
Correct. We're promoting it.
We're promoting it.
We're doing that first?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get it out of the way.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm not saying it's a good idea, but it's topic worthy.
We'll see how this goes.
So his
His
statement, and I'm just going to read it because it's easy enough. Discuss why character restrictions are a good thing, if not essential, to a robust and viable competitive environment. And I think he's thumbing his nose here a little bit at the Muse guys.
A little bit?
Well, yeah. Who've been pushing super hard to just character restrictions is just a bad idea. It's basically the gist of what they've been saying lately. They think that Steamroller 2015 should not include character restrict. Like, that's literally something they've said on air. So I think that...
How many judges are on Muse on Minis?
I believe none.
And obviously judges have huge input on that stuff. I have a pretty good feeling. And Travis seems to really like it a lot.
Travis does.
Suck it, Muse.
I think those of us in the room generally
might agree with Travis also.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I'm not going out on too big of a ledge in this particular crowd that I think character restrictions are an amazing idea. And I'm saying that as someone who literally never played when they weren't a thing. Like, the year I started playing was the year character restrictions were introduced. So I've never played competitively when character restrictions were not a thing.
To be fair, you've never played competitively.
Whoa!
That was
me. It was right there. It was flashing. Was a setup. There were neon arrows pointing at that soft, oily oop lob. I had to dunk it in.
I was inhaling. I was like, someone else can take this because I'm already.
At any rate, I think that what I've heard the competitive environment was, and perhaps it's been overblown by people for me because I didn't experience it firsthand, sounds way less good and way less creative and an uninteresting play environment compared to one where character restricts exist, which is what I've known.
Yes, I agree. Basically, in Mark 1 and back before when they had the character restricts, you always had like Gorman, Ion and Holt, and Iris. And that was in every list that you could possibly take because that was that solved a ton of problems, just those three, four models.
Yeah,
and
or even like every Scorn list started with with Bronzeback, Gladiator,
Optimus Marketh.
No, well, it was in Khan.
Well, now you can do Khan or Tiberi. Now
but it was just like those three because you just you just did.
Yeah, and now Avatar just was in
every Protector.
Avatar, Rupert, and Covenant and was in every Protector list, and of course the standbys like Aeon and Holt and Iris. Yeah. But they always had Rupert, Avatar, and Covenant
because there's nothing that says fun to me like a world in which every single Manoth player always has a tough no knockdown unit at the front of their army because that's fun,
right?
That's the world that I want to live in. And I know that people say...
I have input.
Sure.
I think from a fluff standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. Like, I don't read the fluff, but like, whenever you read history, there's always, like, one person who really stood out and was, like, a big deal. And I think that if you take character restrictions away, you make it less of a reality that way.
Yeah, because in the old days, functionally, unless you were playing a two-caster game, FAC equaled FA1.
Yes. And that's actually my only... It's just an unfortunate part of FAC and FA1 weren't actually really that.
When they created those, correct. That was, they didn't have tournaments in mind. It was just the way they did it. And I think, well, yeah.
There are some.
My only issue with character restriction, as it is that some characters get hit that didn't quote unquote need to be, and some non characters didn't get hit that do need to be.
Right.
Like Silas can only be in one list, but the Squire can be in all your lists.
Or to put it in other terms, like Silas and Marketh both.
Well, I mean, yes, they're the same thing. The point is, like,
Targ.
Like, Targ can be in one list, but the
Because Targ is the problem.
Exactly. But the War Dog can be in everything.
Yeah.
So he and so that's an important thing.
Any more thoughts? Any more thoughts? I have thoughts.
Yeah,
thoughts.
Think us.
I think it would be exciting to try a year without character restrictions and no divide and conquer, for a couple of reasons. Wow. One, it's always good to constantly change things up. Just for the simplicity, we should try things differently. You get into a rut, that can be a problem.
Yes.
Two, as you mentioned, because the character restriction wasn't thought out in the regards of tournament and list design, I think it's a fine thing for whatever, but it doesn't really matter. When you're making one list, you put one character, one FA1, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're making two, the game has evolved so deeply now to where there's 13 casters and a gazillion combinations, and there's all these skew lists, and only a couple factions can build two lists following character restrictions and make two all-comers lists and have a chance.
Yes.
Many factions now, when you follow character restrictions and divide and conquer, have to rely on more luck than skill to dodge matchups. You can't make two lists following divide and conquer and character restricts and not have to rely on luck.
Whenever
you add luck into the equation, my enjoyment of the game diminishes.
I want to interject one thing. Which was kind of interesting because it actually was claiming the opposite of what a lot of people claim, which is that the advantage of character restriction is that I didn't even say that. Like it forces people, like, they can't just build two massive murder everything lists. And as far as your all comers thing is that the character restrict can actually screw over the little guy. Like, I can't build two lists that can both respond to Haley 2. So if I happen to run into Haley, or this is more divide and conquer thing, actually. This is the more divide and conquer.
It's a combination of two that really hurts the most.
Divide and conquer is supposed to stop somebody from just riding Haley 2 all day. They have to prove they can win with something else.
Yep.
But what's far more common is that I run into the Haley 2 player when I have already used my anti Haley 2 list. Yep. So I just get boned really hard.
Correct. And that exists, and that adds luck. The more luck you win, the luck in War Machine should revolve around the dice. That is where and also when you play list chicken, that's an element where it's not luck. It's list chicken, but it's not really luck because you're picking one list.
There's still strategy.
One list. There's strategy, and that I like that element. There's all sorts of things around that. But when you take, I don't want luck involved in anything other than the dice. And character restricts and divide and conquer increase luck. And with, unfortunately, ever since Colossus came out, skew lists have... skew lists always existed, but in my opinion...
Defense skew was the more common thing before Colossus. But things like Iron Flesh Chaos.
They have magnified in ridiculousness. And also, to me, that is reducing the fun of the game.
Yes.
And I think if you had two lists that did not use character restricts and did not list divide and conquer, you could defend against the shenanigans more. Yes, some players will never leave their box, and you will see some Crix players who only have double Tartarus, 30 Bane Knights, insert different casters.
Sure.
You will see Menoth players who put Avatar in both lists.
But if because of non-character restriction, you're able to respond to 30 Bane Knights and Tartarus, and you can put that response in both your lists,
they are fucked.
That's your argument.
So that's the whole point there. So that's why, and I think anything is worth a cycle for a steamroller cycle. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying it's obviously better. I think it would be good to try out, and that's partially why I'm going to run some tournaments non-character.
Let me ask you this, as far as everything's worth trying out at least once, what about the opposite extreme? What about a year of Universal FA?
I think Universal FA needs to be beta tested heavily. I think that idea is so different that it needs like a group of three people playing it for like 6 months.
Universal FA, for those of us either at the table or listening who don't know what. So character restriction is obviously each character can only show once up between all your lists. Universal FA is whatever the field allowance of the model or unit is your total usage allowance across all your lists. So if you have an FA2 unit, and you use it twice in one list, you cannot use it at all in your other list because you've used up its two FA.
That would be real. I mean, because I use stalkers in every single list.
Well, they're right. FAU.
They're FAU.
So when it hurts,
but it hits things again. Like I said, Silas can only be in one list, but the Squire can be in all your lists because the Squire is FA one. Now it wouldn't. It hits all those FA one things just as hard as the FA C's.
Or Bane Thrall UA is the big one. I think of UA.
Units that survive off support, like Choir, would be hurt. I think that's worth testing.
It would force Menoth players to maybe try infantry heavy lists that don't just suck on the Choir.
You
could put one in each, but you can't double Choir in both your lists like people.
Right.
Do.
I think it's intriguing, but I don't think it. I think that needs to be a step. Like specialists. There's a mini phase where they go to the private press hangers, go, hey, you guys test this for a while or something. It needs to be a test phase.
Maybe some people need to just try that as a thing at local Steamrollers, just as a...
That would
be interesting to see just some random feedback on that. Brian's fleeing. Oh, he's turning the light on.
My opinion, and I've said this before about Divide and Conquer, is that I actually strongly dislike what Divide and Conquer has done to the meta, because it actually, in my experience, has very little effect in the first two rounds of the game. Of a tournament, generally speaking, you know you can drop whatever list you want in the first two rounds, and I feel like I always enjoy the first two, even when I'm losing, the first two rounds of the tournament, I'm like, okay, this is cool, this is fine, and then after that is when you get into this huge luck skew, where it's like, oh, I happen to double drop whatever, it doesn't matter, I'm boned now if I run into X, and that I actually dislike. I think the Divide and Conquer is actually a huge problem. I think that Divide and Conquer three lists, three rounds, exacerbates it to a stupid degree. I think that when, like, and this is something that Travis runs Adepticon, and he gets a lot of feedback about this every year, that the Masters qualifiers for Adepticon he ran Gen Con too, so it's kind of funny, were three round, three list, Divide and Conquer. And so... it's not just luck in the last round. It's after the first round. And I ran into, like, my qualifier Gen Con. I ran into Crix, Crix, Crix. Spoiler alert, I don't have three anti-Crix lists. I don't even have three lists that can play a game against Crix and Legion. Because Legion has to actually kind of think about that matchup. Like, I understand that for Signar, they're like, oh, you ran into three Crix. That was easy. You just walked into the finals.
P. Haley got one. P. King got the other.
P. Haley got the third one. Yeah. That's nice for you. Yeah. I'm playing Legion. Crix is a huge fucking problem. And, like, I...
Okay. Sorry. Oh, yeah.
Sorry, what do you got?
Well, I was just making sure I could talk about this, and I can. Okay. It was brought up in the judge forum, but it's just a random thing that somebody said, hey, here's an idea, and it's something I can talk about.
Okay.
This intrigued me, because somebody said that this would be an interesting thing instead of Divide and Conquer. X lists and... cannot use any list more than Y times. So, for example, if you had a four-round tournament with three lists, each list could not be used more than twice. So you could do list A twice and list B twice and list C zero times. It wouldn't have to be do each list at least once.
Which is better. I don't disagree with that. I don't think it fixes the fundamental flaw of once I've dropped... If I run into Crix, 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 Crix...
Which can happen.
Which happens, because, spoiler alert, people play a lot of Crix.
You look at event... they sometimes can get major events 50% of the population.
Yeah, but if two of your lists can handle Crix and you have one Achilles heel, you're not forced into that Achilles heel.
But in Legion, I'm going to have one list that can handle Crix. I'm going to have one list that's a game against Crix. And then I'm going to have a list that can't play against Crix. Yeah.
Any list you have with Ravagors can handle Crix.
That's... I think that's a common misconception. Have like enough Ravagors to lay a wall of Scather Clouds, but you never take more than one.
Character restriction is good. The character restriction is good for Privateer Press because it forces people.
It forces purchases. Yeah. Yep.
And that is what it is, and that's a true statement, and that's fine. But I think for a competitive viewpoint, I would like to see it gone for a year.
A
year, if every person brings, and honestly, we're talking about flying off. If I want to travel to an event far away, and if I want to just take one small bag, and you don't have Divine Conquer, and you don't have character, I can actually take a small bag travel somewhere.
Easily.
That is nice.
Traveling is a big thing. I do like character restrictions because it seems to make you try to evolve your lists where you don't have to rely on the old faithfuls.
Can depend on if you're... One thing I have seen that people complain about is that does depend on if your faction has...
certain factions can do that.
Certain factions have a really core theme force and then another list that needs all the characters, and they can just stick with those two things forever. You know, like... if Gaspy 2 uses up Tartarus and Dargwraith and the Wither Shadow, then they use some monstrous...
That's why you see P. Genny Gaspy 2, because they
because
don't...
Because P. Genny doesn't need those things.
Nope.
And she just does the pirate boat, and she uses up all those Merc solos,
yeah.
And then he uses up the Tartarus and the Banes, and then... you could still just play those two lists and never leave your comfort zone.
And like I said before, if someone takes 30 Bane Knights and they want to go all in on both lists, and like, well, I have a good anti-Bane Knight list, that player screwed themselves. People can put themselves in a little corner if they're too... They can't think.
Players should
have the freedom. It shouldn't be forced upon them. And even no matter what this changes, it's not like if character restrictions in or out, it's not like if we take, let's say next year they say no divide and conquer, no character restrictions. It's not like we're going to see everyone who's in the top tables today not being in the top tables. We're going to see the same people in the top tables.
Different lists.
The same people in the middle tables. Yeah. But those people in the top tables or the middle tables, when they face off, maybe now they're going to have a better chance. They're not going to be like blocked into some stupid list. But the same people are going to be in the middle, same people are going to be in the bottom, and the same people are going to be on top. But their actual games may actually not be decided by some sort of weird I ran out of X list.
I do wonder if the heavy, heavy skew environment we see now would go away without character restricts, or if it would just be, oh man, I'm just going to do the same super hard skew in multiple lists.
Well, armor skew becomes far more vulnerable when literally every single list that is a War Machine list has Aeon and Holt in it.
Yes.
And so Gorman and
you could argue, Gorman and Iris 2 and Aeon and Holt being in every War Machine list except for Convergence.
Except for Red.
And well, some
Red,
of
them. Yeah, well, I mean, whatever. Yeah. The point is, okay, 80% of War Machine lists have those three models.
Yeah, you just have to build your list. And the thing is, at the end of the day, really top-level players, this is something I'm going to steal a quote from Brian here, really top-level players plan their list anyway as if they were going to run into the worst possible case scenario. So when Brian's building a Scorn list, he puts it together and he comes up with a list and he's like, oh, falls over to Purification. And then he puts together another list and he's like, oh, falls over to Purification. And I have the same problem in Legion. It's like, oh man, if they can strip Tenacity and Spiny Growth, fuck me.
Yeah.
And it's going to become, you just, whereas right now good players just assume Eris 2's in a War Machine list. Because even if she's not, you need to be prepared for her to be in that list when you're building your list. She'll just actually be there in every list. So I don't think it's going to – like a lot of top-level players are already teching their lists as if that existed, because they're teching their list in case they were to run into that worst-case scenario, generally speaking. Not everyone, but I think a lot of the top players are. And I think what's going to actually wind up happening is the mid-level and below is going to become just a seal clubber. Like what's going to happen is there's going to be the people that – are at the mid-level of play, there are factions that just for two mid-level players playing each other are just better if you're not stuck with character restricts. Like, I think Scorn out of the box, where you've got Moloch Karn and you've got Tiberian and just all your lists, like, crushes a lot of noobs. Like, it just does. Even if you're a noob yourself. It's like, oh, I'm a noob, but I have Tiberian and I have Moloch Karn, so I win the noob off. Whereas other factions, and I'll pick Rhett because I lose with Rhett all the time. Like, Rhett's big advantage is that they can take Iona and Holt in both lists, which is great, but it's no Moloch Karn Tiberian.
Hey, you could nail in both lists.
Yes, I can, in fact, have nail in both lists.
Game within a game.
Game within a game.
That's a Beanish quote.
I might start playing that again.
And, like, it would be, and like Rhett, it's great you can take Imperatus in both lists, which is great, except the terror that is Imperatus is actually only a terror in a world where you have IR. And if everyone's got Eris 2, guess what you never get to have on Imperatus? IR. Like, ever. It's just gonna get stripped.
I mean, my Mordekaiser list would be so sad in that world, because obviously everyone, I mean, Mordekaiser needs upkeeps, and his upkeeps aren't even that good, but they're good for him, and they're mid-level game upkeeps. Right. And he would never get...
Yeah, don't people bitch about upkeep hate so much already? Yeah, they do. Won't this just exacerbate it?
It's already so high, though. I think it doesn't matter. There's so many upkeep removal already that...
There is a lot of upkeep removal.
I guess. That's my vote is try it out for a year. If the world ends, we've had some... Every so often, there's ridiculous things in Steamroller, and then they get changed.
I'd like...
Like first player scoring?
First player scoring.
Oh, my God.
Was a cluster fuckapalooza.
First player scoring.
You know how second player is the first person who can score in scenarios? Because that way, going first isn't 100% better? Mm-hmm. For a brief, terrible period, the first player got to score first.
Oh, that seems fun.
So they got to set up first, they got to go first, they got to score first, they got to win first, and that was that.
It was 4 months of painful awful. We played through it, and then we only moved on. And
Everybody would just roll off to see who won the go first roll, and I was like, oh, you win. That was fun. Let's go on to round two.
Yeah. I would...
Save time.
Seriously, like to playtest some times of Universal FA.
Yeah,
I like that idea.
Yeah, my annoying thing is that I have several small I have so many little tweaks. I would love to run Steamroller events with the little tweaks, and I'm not allowed to, and it makes me sad.
Yeah, I
Universal FI would be interesting.
I'd like to give it a shot.
The possibilities terrify me with character restricts, whereas the possibilities excite me with lack of divide and conquer. That's just from my gut, the way I feel is a world without divide and conquer is a world with rainbows and unicorns and happiness, and everyone frolics and dances and enjoys their War Machine tournaments.
If I had to choose, if between character restrictions and divide and conquer,
could today get rid of one,
I would get rid of divide and conquer before character restricts.
Right.
Because together is what the real problem is. Right. I still think character restrictions is unnecessary and be good to go away, but I know both of them aren't going to go away. For just the people are just like we can't change.
People have trouble with change, but I mean we changed two character restricts.
Yeah,
and man, did we fight that tooth and nail.
Well, when character restrictions happened, for about a year before that change officially happened, every major con kind of used that rule anyway.
Yeah.
It was always like Steamroller with character restricts. So even though it wasn't for every local thing, it was still kind of the way things are going.
Yeah.
I would like to see it go.
I know that's one of the reasons why one of our local players doesn't play anymore. Is it because of character restrictions?
It was an impact.
There were several things.
But yeah, character restricts. And I mean, when you look at a game, there's like everyone, like I can take a hit to my favorite thing. If a game has a negative impact, like I don't like Castles as much, but I didn't quit because of it.
Yeah,
I don't like Divide and Conquer. I don't quit because of it. But eventually, too many things stack up and then you
and
move
people
on.
Do quit.
And
I think that the current environment going more and more harder and harder into the skew. Which is, would anybody here disagree that it feels like the skew is getting stronger and stronger as we've gone through this entire tournament year? Honestly and truly, would anyone
disagree? The last 2 years it's gone bigger.
I think there's always been skew and it just shifts around. It was Iron Flesh Kayazi and Iron Flesh Bob, and it was defense skew.
Sure.
And then Colossals came out and it was armor skew. And now it's a subset of armor skew, but you got stuff like Fistaholic and Miserable Meat Mountain with the hit point skew. I mean, there's always skewer du jour.
Oh, I don't disagree that skew existed. I'm just saying maybe previous Colossal is 20% of lists were skew. Now I feel it's like 45% of lists were skew. I mean, I'm just saying the percentage of skew lists have increased considerably.
Higher. Like when I think of what Kator lists I'm going to see, like even outside it, like it used to be that only because our local Jordan played it did I worry about. Butcher 2. But I can't go to a tournament without tripping over a Butcher 2 player anymore.
Right.
Because if you're playing Kador and you're not playing Butcher 2, Butcher 3, like at least one of, maybe both of, you're probably doing your faction wrong right now. Like I understand people win with other things, but like that it's just happening. If you're a Legion player, to pick on my own faction, and you're not playing Epic Veil, you're losing because purification is the only answer to so many of those things, so many of those skews. And not Meat Mountain or Fist of Halak, but a lot of the other skews out there, like purification just answers it. And Eris 2 isn't an option in Legion. It feels like it's come down to the point where I look at my bench of casters, and Legion has a really deep bench. I've never said that they don't. But I look at my bench of casters, and I look at what's in the tournament mix today, and I'm like, wow, so maybe four or five of these guys I can even like pretend to think about playing?
Because of characters, I would love to take, like, you have 12 casters.
Sure.
And if I take X caster, I can't take Y caster because of character restrictions. I would love to be able to mingle my caster selection differently.
Even though I'm the one who said that maybe I didn't think skews that much on the rise as you guys do, I will admit that I don't have to think about, when I'm thinking about things I might see, I don't have to think about possible combinations. I don't have to think about possible specific units. I think about possible lists because there's a lot of cookie cutter lists that I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe those lists are that good, but maybe the problem is divide and conquer and or character restrict. I think it's divide and conquer more than character restrict, but I could see a case being made where character restrict is part of the problem. But divide and conquer is a huge problem.
Character restrict is definitely part of the problem, because the reason divide and conquer is the problem is that you can't have those characters in all three of your lists. I mean,
Legion doesn't give a shit about characters, like, other than the Black Frostguard, which is great, but we can get around without a 5-point support unit. Like, you can make your list, but divide and conquer. Yeah, like, Legion just doesn't have characters.
In general, though, the reason divide and conquer is hitting that hard is because you're being forced away. Like,
yeah, you can't play your Eris list because you already dropped it.
You have Rupert in one of your protectorate lists, and then you have used that list, and then you face somebody with inhospitable ground.
Yep.
Yeah.
So then you just lose.
Yep, that was fun.
Yeah. That's divide and conquer's fault, but it is definitely the cause as well is the character restrict forcing you into
and
that situation.
And they've started designing things that aren't hit by it. You look at the House Guard Thane for Rhett. So ignore the getting rid of stealth, which is amazing, but Rhett had a huge command problem. Like, people say they didn't because they had standards and stuff, but playing Rhett against anything that forces A-bomb checks and stuff like that was a huge problem for Rhett. And he's just...
Can you all, like, command 10?
There's a lot of command 9, actually.
When you're making, like, six...
when you're making six checks, you are going to fail one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
Like, you just are. And so the House Guard Thane just says, nope, we don't give any shits about Abomination anymore. And they didn't make him a character because they wanted to be in both lists. They made him FA2, so you can just spread him around wherever you want.
But a model like that was put out Marquez, so far later. I mean, if he was designed...
If he was designed back in the day, he would have some cool House Guardy name, and he would be a character. Like, he would. Because what he does is really cool and thematic for the faction, and they would have just made him a character because they didn't think about the fact, oh, this will someday maybe limit his playability. They were just thinking, oh, well, you can only just go.
To be fair, even old school, there is a difference between C and 1 in the FA. It isn't just fluff. I mean, hypothetically, there are such things as multicaster games. And so the reason for FAC isn't just, hey, it's Iris and she's, you know, Irisy, so she can only have one of them, even though it's really the same as one. It's so that you didn't have two Irises in your
75. Because two Irises in a two-caster list would be dumb.
Right.
And I think we can all agree with
that. There is some difference, but it wasn't just like they were randomly making shit characters for the hell of it.
No, but I understand that. But I'm just saying, I think that the Thane would have stood a really good chance of being a character back in the day.
I'm just still flabbergasted. You think having Command 9 being your bad command means that you're...
I'm not saying other factions don't have trouble, too, but...
In conclusion, Travis is wrong.
No, I think Travis is not wrong. I think the problem is that Travis really, really likes Divide and Conquer.
Divide and Conquer wasn't the topic.
No, but Brian's right. The two are related.
Yeah.
See, your lower quality players who don't understand the game as well think Divide and Conquer is just a neat idea. But when you actually get into the when you get a deeper feel, something Travis can't understand.
Well, wow. I mean, the other thing would be to boil it down. It's like if you were at a rock, scissors, paper tournament, and then you get to like round four, and they're like, "Awesome! By the way, you're not allowed to throw rock."
Yeah.
You're like, "Oh, that was fun."
And if I'm putting thousands of dollars on my War Machine models, I don't want to feel like rock, paper, scissors, because that really pisses the fuck out of me.
Especially, you don't want to feel like rock, paper, scissors where you can't throw rock.
Yeah. Exactly. I just spent $10,000 on my miniatures over the last 10 years. I want to use my fucking rock.
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. I guess I'm playing Warhammer again.
Yeah. I agree. So anyway, in conclusion, I happen to agree with Travis that character restricts are a good thing for the game. I just think that there are some things that were not designed with it in mind, and it's an unfortunate penalty to them that penalizes other things I'm glad are penalized.
My one regret with this conversation was that when Brian started and he was like, we have a topic from Travis that was a Zappity Grumble thing, but we're promoting it, I wanted to immediately bring up the thing that Travis said not to talk about and say that was going to be our big topic. Just so that Travis, listening at it at home, would just start shrieking with rage and profanity into the computer.
All right, so...
Wait, Andy had a conclusion. He gets a conclusion.
Oh, he started to say something.
Yeah.
Okay.
But he forgot what it was, judging by his facial expression. Katie, how are you doing in
trains? I was already on the next topic-ish, but... that we're not going to talk about.
Okay,
are you? We're going to skip that one.
Katie, are you
really
ready for your corner?
Really high.
Well, I can go for it.
Right,
basically, I like character restrictions. Even though I'm a mercenary player, so I think they do help adapt people to change into the game. But again, change into the game is sometimes really good. I wouldn't mind trying it out, see how it goes. I have, perfectly honest, I would really like to try FA.
Universal FA.
I think that could be potentially really interesting. Instead of having Bay Knight spam or, you know.
If I don't use Steamroller scenarios, I could run something like that and just try it with Universal FA and, you know, run an event like that.
We'll get the original League's scenarios. You can play those.
Oh.
Three guys showed up to that event.
Yep. Hey, you gotta go take out that lighthouse. Oh, yeah. Everything is all difficult terrain. Oh, and you have to get there in two turns.
Yeah, that was great.
And it's 48 inches away.
And that was not even the worst scenario in that league. That was the second worst scenario in the league, behind the boat leaving port.
Yep. Oh, I got Man of War Demolcore. Oh, dead.
They wouldn't get to it.
The Man of War Demolcore could just murder that thing in one turn.
When they cross,
when
that
they
was a
get to it, they're not going to get to your opponent's deployment zone and destroy five objectives within three turns.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no.
That was how that scenario worked. Destroy five objectives in your opponent's deployment zone by the end of round three.
Yeah.
Or lose. Auto lose.
Seems fun.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, though, in those scenarios, whoever was lower on the league standings got to pick whether they wanted to be the attacker or the defender. So it was really just like, are you losing in the league? Now you aren't anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
All right.
Katie, have a corner?
Corner.
I do have a corner. Just a second to finish my game.
Okay. I booped. Now she has booping sounds.
Oh, there's booping sounds. It's different.
Okay. Katie's corner.
All right. I'm going to talk about Caverna. Just a second. I have like a bite
Caverna.
On my
arm. I'm surprised.
Caverna. Well, I was going to talk about Cornucopia, but then...
Cornucopia.
It's not called Cornucopia.
When I wrote it down, Jeremy was like, I thought you were talking about Caverna tonight. And well, I disagree with about your Caverna. Scores about Cornucopia.
There is no game it's called Cornucopia. It's not called
Cornucopia.
What game is Cornucopia?
Crap, now she's got... Now I can't...
broke my brain saying Cornucopia.
It's a sea game.
It made by the people who made Imperial, which, by the way, and they play very... They don't play similar at all, but you can tell it's the same company.
I feel bad that
Concordia?
I didn't... Concordia.
Thank you.
I didn't realize how well I was so doing Concordia in Imperial, so I didn't pull my punches, so I annihilated everybody I was showing it to. So I feel bad.
Yeah, good job.
Because not only did I then make them not necessarily enjoy the game as much as they would have, but they also will never play it with me again.
All right, we're going to talk about Concordia, not Caverna, so suck it, Jeremy.
Okay.
What?
All right.
Wait, what? I wanted to hear about Caverna. I don't give a shit about Concordia. You can talk about Concordia.
No, we'll talk about Shadowhunters. No, we'll talk about Caverna, because it's the next one in my list now, and I'll go out of order. So Caverna is a lot like Agricola, if you guys have ever played it. It's, No, we're going to talk about Concordia, because I had a whole thing prepared.
Let's talk about Concordia.
And then you, like, changed my topic.
So, Zappity Grumble time. Katie's corner is over.
It was a train wreck. No, Concordia...
You're going to talk about trains?
No, I already talked about trains. I okay. I just got a little check mark by it. So, Concordia is a really cool game. It's a mix between a area control and a... deck building game.
And worker placement.
And worker placement, sort of, area. It's got a lot of different things that are happening in it. So as I go through the different things and scores, I'll go through it. So the skill level on this one, I'm going to give a 3 or 4, I think is a really good score. Because what's
out of 5, if anyone doesn't remember the range.
Skill level, for those keeping track at home, is her replacement for the difficulty to learn how to play category.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it was going the opposite direction, and Nathan complained.
Well, isn't it still going the opposite direction?
No, because now the higher the number, the harder the game is for a new player to learn.
Yeah. Oh,
whereas before, the lower the number, the easier
it was to play.
The harder it was for a new player to learn.
Okay, I get it.
So now, yeah.
He
what?
Was correct.
No, it's what? Still low is easier.
Yeah, but now it makes sense.
That's okay.
Yeah.
The higher the number, the harder.
So, normally, but it's want, still where higher numbers are bad.
Higher numbers are bad.
For well, and this one. Higher numbers, this case, it's more nebulous now. Higher nebulous. Numbers just means it's harder.
It's harder, not necessarily bad, yeah.
So anyway, the reason I'm giving this a 3
is
or
this
four,
Caverna?
This is Cornucopia.
Concordia. Concordia. I blame Nate.
I accept that.
It's because it's a hidden points game, and not hidden points like, you know, semi how well people are doing, but it's completely hidden until the very end, and you do all of your scoring. And also, you don't necessarily. So you all start with the same cards, and then here's where the deck building portion comes in. And you're going to buy different cards in order to make your deck better. And your different cards are worth different amounts of points depending on which god is on the card. But then the cards also do different things. And so you don't necessarily remember, unless you have a good rememberer, what each person buys. And so you don't really know if they have a lot of one god. Yes, Brian.
I wanted to say one thing about the hidden. When people say a hidden victory point game, I would say more hidden victory point games are bad than good. But when you say hidden victory point, I think some people get scared.
Yeah, some people do get scared by that. Because
some games are like, there's 75 possible hidden scenarios, and you might get 4 of them in this game. Game, there's only 5 total scenarios. Everyone knows what they are. So it's not this huge, like, random mix-mash of... Well, she hasn't played them. She hasn't seen those other really bad games.
Oh, I guess she hasn't. That's so true.
She didn't play Archipelago Gobble.
I've never played that.
Yeah, but it was terrible. Yeah, most hidden games I see have all these... Not only is it hidden, but it's always random. Where this game, it's hidden, but it's only the same 5. So you can plan around it. And if you're paying attention, it's not hidden, but it's not horrible.
You have a goal. You should have a goal or a plan on what kind of points you're trying to be getting the entire time. And so you shouldn't be like, oh, I accidentally stumbled into this scenario that I wasn't aware of that existed. It'd be like if, in my mind, it would be like if you were playing Ticket to Ride and you just didn't count your points as you went.
Yeah, you can kind of tell how you're doing because there's five things that give you points, and each card is a multiplier for one of those five things.
Sure.
So if you take the card that multiplies point category four, and you don't have any points in category four, guess what? You're not doing well.
Yeah. Do you know other people's multipliers?
No, because if you watch what they play, because they play the cards also.
That's why, gotcha. I was saying if you have a good memory, because like I will know what Brian.
You said if you have a good rememberer.
If you have a good rememberer, then you can see what Brian or Jeremy or you purchases, and you can
like I could tell what strategy Brian's when we played. I could tell what strategy Brian was going for. Yeah. No one knew what strategy Katie was going for, including Katie.
Well, no, I did because I ended up winning. So
you
did
because you were a dark horse.
You technically won with your crazy tiebreaker.
There was a crazy tiebreaker.
The tiebreaker for the game is a little bit unfortunate. It's pretty random.
There's a card that just gives you a bonus if you're the one holding it. And if you're holding that card at the end, that's the tiebreaker. But it literally, you use it and it passes. And if neither of the people that are tied for first have the card, it's whichever one of them would have gotten it next because it passes in counterclockwise order.
To be fair, we ended the game with, 118?
Yeah, it was a really close game.
There's so many multipliers and so many cards, I think tying should be pretty rare.
Yeah. I was shocked that we were that close to each other.
Well,
is it not possible that that's all smoke and mirrors and in actuality the game's just kind of... Well, gonna tie a lot.
Katie and I played two player, and it was like a 60-point difference.
Gotcha.
But I don't think that we were playing aggressively enough. I don't know that it's a good two player game. It played really well at three players.
It played great at three.
So the next one, strategy, I'm gonna give that a 3.5 because it's not quite as deep as say Dominant Species, but it's pretty deep strategy. You need to know what you're doing in order to. You can't just. Like we were saying, you can't just luck into your points. You're either going to know what you're trying to do or you're not. You have to, if you wait too long to build, it costs more, it's more expensive. And so that you want to make sure that you build early and you want to make sure that you build on things that you're going to need for later. And you want to make sure that you get your people where they need to be.
And the whole area control, you have to understand area control well because they have to be in different places for the
strategies. Yeah.
And then the other thing is replayability. I'm also going to give that a 3. I think that you could probably play this game twice in one day, and then you could probably definitely play it once every, like if you have a board game day once a month, and it should be a standard, I would think.
I think it could easily become a regular game, yes. But I agree. I would say that it's not the kind of game where you're like, oh man, we just played it. Let's play it again right away.
Let's play 8 games of Zombie Side.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
So, but it is really fun. I really enjoy it, and you can talk to other people while you're playing it. It's not as casual as, say, Ladies and Gentlemen or Ticket to Ride, which we talked about before, and so I'm not going to score it as high. Those ones got like a 4 and a 5 for fun, so I'm going to give it a solid 3.
This is a pure solid Euro game. It's not like a fluff, goofy, I'm wearing a dress kind of game. It's a...
Correct.
I'm doing economic things.
But for a Euro game, it's fairly social. Like, you can actually chat. You don't have to be like, oh my god, my brain is melting thinking about the possibilities. I can't possibly talk to you people right now.
Yeah.
Like, you can chat about it, but it's not beer and pretzels.
Yeah. Someone took the cooking spot. I'm screwed for their game.
Right. Exactly.
None of that nonsense.
No, none of that.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't get a spot that you want, then there are different strategies that you can apply, and you can go different places, and there's usually ways around it, at least at three people. The board will obviously get more crowded as you get more people, but they do have two sides, so you can play on a smaller map or a bigger map, depending on how many you have. It is not a co-op game in any way, and so for the most part, I gave this like a 3, 3.5 all the way across, but it is a good game. I would highly recommend it.
Right. I think that a solid 3 across the board is a fun game. You started with some of your favorite games that you've ever played with the first couple things you reviewed, and so they got really high scores. Like, if I were to start reviewing board games, and the very first thing I reviewed was Lords of Waterdeep, every other game would not... Like, Lords of Waterdeep, to me, is still one of those gold standard games, even though we don't as a group play it very much anymore.
Well, we play...
You guys all played on the iPad.
Play it, like, 5 times a day on the iPad.
Right, you guys all play it on the iPad.
We don't bring it out in person.
I need to download it on my iPad, because I really miss playing it, and you guys all play it on the iPad instead of in person.
Yeah, but to me, too random, not Kalis.
But, yeah. But to me, like you reviewed a couple of your very favorite games early, and so it's not scoring as high as those. It doesn't mean it's an unfun game.
Yeah. But it's really fun. There is a little bit of differentiation between each game because as you do the setup, the resources aren't always in the same places, but they're in the same regions. And so that determines like how many resources you get if you activate a region. I'm not going to obviously go into all the rules, but I would recommend picking it up, borrow it from a friend.
Yep. My guess would be we'll have it with us at War Machine Weekend.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a solid Euro game that uses a lot of... It's Terra Mystica borrows a lot of mechanics from other games, yep. And it kind of meshes them together. This game is kind of the same idea. It takes a lot of mechanics from other games and kind of makes its own little flavor with it.
Yeah.
And this company, like I said, Nathan has a game called Imperial, which plays completely different, but yet some of the themes, how things move, are kind of the same. One thing is going counterclockwise, something's going the other direction.
Sure. Oh, it has the Rondell
thing. Yeah. So there's a lot of neat elements. I think it's definitely, it's a good change of pace, because sometimes we'll play like four different games, but they're all worker placement games.
Yep.
Where this game is its own different thing.
Yeah. I would have trouble putting this game in a genre with any of the other games we currently play.
All I can do is call it a Euro game that has a mix of everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I will say about it, though, is if you read the directions, it's a pretty quick learn. It's like Terra Mystica, when you explain it, you're going to be explaining it for half an hour, and when you explain this game, it's going to be like 10 minutes. I've got
my Terra Mystica explanation down under 15.
Yeah, but you're speaking at the speed of light.
I think you just drop a bunch of things at this point.
Screw it. You're going to lose game one. Let's just continue. Let's just move on.
Yeah, I think Accordia is a game you can win your first time out if you spend 5-10 minutes learning how it works.
Well, yeah, I tied Katie.
Yeah, Katie and I had each played it once and kind of knew what we were doing, and Brian still tied
for
first.
I was still confused turn one, but there's enough turns that you can catch back up.
And I made a pretty big error the last turn, because I ended the game instead of doing something that would have gotten me substantially more points, but would have lost, because you get bonus points for ending the game first. Anyway, it's a good game. I would recommend it.
And that's Caverna.
Cornucopia.
Concordia.
Caverna Corpopornia.
It's called Concordia.
Pornucopia.
Bahungles.
So next week we'll do Caverna.
Will we?
All right.
It's the next one on the list. Now my list is out of order.
No, my God.
All right.
Two Sets of Anarchy.
She hasn't played it yet.
Zebedee.
Grumble.
Zebedee Grumbles.
Zebedee Grumble time.
You want to say anything about your trip before we do that? You went in a way.
I have a small complaint that I have to do.
All right, there you go.
So when you go to Perkins after a concert...
You've made a bad mistake in your life.
We sat there for an hour and a half waiting for food.
Did someone order the meat?
They came down and gave us water. We got water right away.
I feel like you are always waiting on people to give you food. Like, whenever you go to a restaurant, they're like, no, we're just not going to serve that table.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
It's the beard.
it was actually everybody in the restaurant. In fact, there were people actually cheering when, like, the first people got their food.
Wow.
Like, the chef not... or whatever.
That's kind of a... well, everyone got together. That's kind of a nice group mentality. Everyone's like, yeah, I got a cheeseburger!
The whole restaurant was like, oh, they got food? Ah! And everyone starts cheering. I'm like, that's...
The concept of food thrilled them so.
Yeah, I feel bad for the waiter, because at that point, you know you're not getting a tip, and there's nothing you can do about it.
There was a couple of walkouts as well, and, yeah... They had somebody who actually walked out of their job that day, too.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. They had a rough day.
Yeah, it sucked. It was not good. To give everybody an idea what show we went to go see Volbeat and Five Finger Death Punch.
You guys went for a Five Finger Death Punch, right? And Volbeat happened to be playing?
No, I actually went to see Volbeat. I didn't care for Five Finger Death Punch.
Who does? No one does.
Well, they were the headliners.
Volbeat all the way.
Well, except I'm going to a concert in November, and I'm not going for the headliners. I plan to leave after the opening act. I might stay for one song of the headliners, because I think it'll be their most logical first song is also the only song of theirs I really, really like, the Motley Crue.
Yeah, no, I know.
But other people don't. Alice Cooper's opening for him, so I'm going to an Alice Cooper concert, and then hopefully Motley Crue starts with Kickstart My Heart, and then I can leave.
You should probably go to a different Alice Cooper show where he's headlining, and he's playing more songs, and doesn't cost the same amount as...
I go to all Alice Cooper shows. Yeah. This will be like my sixth in the last so many years.
You can get a better show than going to see him with Motley Crue.
Molly Crue's amazing.
I will honestly, I will watch all of the concert. I'm mostly joking, but I am going. If I had to watch only one of the two performers, I would only watch the Alice Cooper.
Yeah, I have an announcement for Chris Heavy Grumbles. It's really, really short.
Oh yeah, we didn't even do announcements.
Well, we only have one short one. So Privateer Press retweeted Andy's Exelon Thexus, and they called him out. And I'm just mentioning that on air. So
you got to paint that.
You tweeted a picture of your model a few weeks ago, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. And then 2 weeks later, Privateer Press said, "Hey, this model is amazing. Well, I hope it gets painted soon. Hint, hint. Andy, paint your model."
Well, that's what I originally tweeted. That I should paint it. But yep. Yeah, I was.
So
I
the
was,
world is watching.
Concerned. Yeah, I was concerned when I saw it, because they retweeted it.
Well, like, just there are no events this weekend.
Yeah.
There are no concert this weekend.
I know.
So you're promising the entire War Machine community that you'll have a painted Exelon Thexus by their next podcast.
Don't. My thing fell over.
There. So when you go to War Machine Weekend, primed. You can show off.
He'll
your
be
War Machine Weekend, he'll be you can show off weekend. Your painted Cephalix at War Machine Weekend and impress everybody.
That's the other thing I'm probably going to have to end up posting too, is I'll have to start asking for folks for help for painting factions. What the fuck are you doing with my mic setup over there?
Well, I think you run the painting lounge, you have to paint a model a year. I think that's the requirement to be in charge of the painting lounge. One model per year minimum.
Excel will be painted by War Machine Weekend.
All right.
All right.
That's 2 months from
now.
We've
got to record it. Well, let's be honest. Hey, we might have to remind him this happened.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. There's no way he'll get it done in time. It's only 2 months from now. That's a model per 2 months. That's a blistering pace. You can get a unit done in 2 years at that pace.
I don't think he could.
I don't think so either. Excellent will be done by War Machine Weekend. That's your vow. That's my vow.
The start of it, you're showing up at War Machine Weekend with a painted Excellent Thexus. You're going to try to prime. I can prime him now. I'll be right back.
you're welcome.
It's humidity outside.
Uh-huh. Humidity outside.
It was humid a few days ago.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever excuse you need is fine. You can just say, I don't want to. That's also legitimate.
Well, humidity is actually a legitimate thing with priming models.
Sure.
Exactly. You could use brushed-on primer like I do, and then it wouldn't matter.
Gesso.
Yeah, and then it will just scrape off.
No, mine doesn't.
Yeah. Zappity.
Grumble.
Are we just going right away? All right. Pumpkin milkshake. Delicious seasonal treat or abomination?
Not a fan.
It's not chai tea.
It's not eggnog.
Eggnog's really good. I enjoy the pumpkin.
Right. Yeah, I like pumpkin pie. I think pumpkin flavored things are overdone, but I do like pumpkin pie.
I enjoy that they became a thing. I think they're overdone, but I'm glad they became a thing. Yes. Some pumpkin things are really tasty.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What are you looking forward to the most out of... Fuck, I can't read. What are you looking forward to of the thing that... are coming out in... Fuck, he doesn't know how to write. Exigence coming out. What are you looking forward to it?
Abby 2.
Theme Forces, yes.
That I haven't already seen Beast Packs.
I'm going to not answer this question, because last week somebody asked, what are you hoping to get? And we all answered things we already knew were in it that we were looking forward to. So this person's asking what we're looking forward to, so instead I'm going to answer things I'm hoping that we get.
Okay.
Because that's what we should have answered last week, and so I hope you guys will follow suit. I am hoping that we get a unit attachment for Brigands, because Brigands are almost good, and they need to be just slightly better.
Garrix is what?
That sentence just doesn't...
Huh? Garrix?
Garrix,
yeah. So that's what I want, a unit attachment for Brigands. They need that.
Cool.
I want something that makes Rias playable.
Like Reach?
Yeah, Reach. Reach worked just fine.
I want Convert on the iPad.
That's valid. That is a good request.
Or Cornucopia?
Cornucopia would also be fine.
Zappity.
Grumble. I need to get back in the swing of things in terms of gluing and painting models. How do you motivate yourself to do things that take a long time when you have a lot of other obligations and distractions?
So Andy's not answering this one.
Andy doesn't know.
Andy posted that question? That's interesting. He's multitasking.
Wah, wah. Because of the painting thing. It's a call.
My stubbornness helps. I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I need to paint this model. And so what I do is I go, okay, I'm going to paint this. And I literally just shut down doing other things because I need to paint. So fuck everything else. I'm going to spend 2 weeks fucking painting. And that's just that.
A painting?
Yeah. Fuck, paint.
That's why he's not allowed in my house.
That is a sexy painting, though. I'd fuck it.
My roommate's going to be gone for 5 days. Things are happening in that apartment. House everywhere.
Jackson Pollock.
I give myself deadlines. It's called prioritizing. It's a new thing. You should try it.
What?
Hypothetically, the old standby, especially with model assembly and painting, is that put a TV show or movie you already have memorized but enjoy on the Netflix and have it.
Commentary tracks
or whatever. Like, something that you don't have to pay attention to but will also entertain you. That way you're not just in a dark room, depressed and lonely and sad, doing a terrible, grueling ordeal.
Ask yourself this. Is this your primary hobby? Do you enjoy it a lot? Then you should follow through on your things.
Daffy.
Grumble.
My phone just turned off. I got it. It didn't just turn... Whatever. Are you guys homers? And thinking that either USA team will win WTC, or do you think another will take it?
I assume that he meant a Simpson at first until you continued on with your question.
Like, home team.
Yeah, I also assumed that this was like a Johnny Timmy Spike, but with Simpsons characters. And I was going to be like, yes, I am a homer.
I like donuts.
I think the USA team has a really good shot at it this year. I think that the same thing that held us back last year could be a problem this year, which is
He did win all of his games.
The problem is that we play as a alpha wolf. Like, it might just be a societal thing, but the WTC team for America certainly last year played as alpha wolves. I'm going to win all of my games, and that's going to make our team win. Whereas the teams that actually did really well, besides, we did fairly well, but the teams that beat us were all like, we're going to take this janky list that's just like crap, and we're going to win exactly three of our matches every time.
Yeah, they're like, okay, Bob, you're taking these two lists. You're going to lose probably four or five games, but because we pair you, because how the system works, the rest of us are going to win. So he's like, yeah, I'll take it in the butt all day.
Yeah.
But then your team wins, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, and America's like, no, I want to win all my matchups. And I'm going to be undefeated. Like, that matters to us, whereas to them it was, did the team win?
You don't want to be on the U.S. team that wins, and everyone else went 5-0, and you went 1-4.
I'm aware.
Your team, I'm saying, like, your team, you won, but you went 1-4, and a lot of those guys can't take the 1-4.
Yeah, and in Team America, I don't think either of the American teams can handle that.
Ah, yeah, it's all
team
about
America.
Yeah.
Well, my plan is to not care.
I have
no clue who won last year.
That's my
spoiler.
Point.
I actually don't
Poland.
Care.
I'm going for Team Australia.
I'm
Jamaica. I'm going with Team Jamaica. I went to Jamaica. Honestly, I'm going to vote for the Jamaica.
Is John
team.
Candy going to train them in a heartwarming montage?
That'd be amazing.
I honestly don't.
I
care.
Actually want the UN to win because that'd be hilarious.
That would be
fantastic.
I just, as long as people have fun and people have fun talking.
They didn't spend that much money to travel across the world to have fucking fun.
Yeah, you're no fun, Andy. Don't.
It's happening.
Nice.
It goes back to my Blood Bowl experience from last week.
Grumble.
Yeah.
Grumble. That was very grumble. Have you heard of... nope.
On we move.
You're welcome, Travis.
And next one from the same person. Nope. It's basically we're talking about the tournament format, and we already talked about it.
Oh, gotcha.
We already talked about it.
Speaking of pumpkin spice stuff, is it time to knock it off? Where does it end? Pumpkin spice... spice flavor diaphragms and condoms?
It has kind of looked crazy these last
couple
years.
I guarantee there are pumpkin condoms.
I'm sure
I guarantee that that's a flavor that exists.
I've seen banana.
I think that that's just
no, that you were just sucking off a banana.
I mean, condoms that are for the shape of a pumpkin, right?
No.
Yes.
Only you need
I saw a
Brian.
Doctor.
Only for you.
I saw a doctor and he gave me those. And it's
does it have like the grooves along the side?
Oh, yeah.
For her pleasure.
I don't think there's any pleasure when something the shape of a pumpkin is being inserted into you.
Zappity. Dear God, Zappity.
Crumble. Jeremy Kofoot's asking, should I go to Within Temptation on October 1st in Chicago? Depends if you like them.
Yeah, that's probably a good poor thing. If you like them, sure. If you don't, probably not.
Yeah. I mean, it's Chicago. It's a two-hour drive. I mean,
is it a Wednesday night? Then maybe not.
I assume that's a band of some kind.
It's a band within Temptation. It's a solid.
If you like them, you should go. I love concerts. I love live things. I love experiences. We had this whole thing with seeing movies in theaters versus DVDs. If you like the band, go see them.
God, do I hate live things. I swear to God. If you can if you can sit back and watch it. Now, I've gone to some events live, and you know, once in a while it's neat, but my God, if I can just sit on my fucking couch watching the thing and not have to worry about the before and the after and the during bullshit, holy crap, it's just relaxing. Once a couple years going to a show is
like Weird Al.
Cool. Exactly. Once in a while. But
WWE event.
Yeah, I went, and that was fun. I went to one of those, and that was fun, but man, did I not need to do that again for like a couple of years? Some people, we go every week, I'm like, man, that just seems awful.
Yeah. But I mean, I think any band that you really like, it's worth seeing them in concert once, at least. You don't have to go to every single time they come to town, but if you really like them, and this is your shot to see them live, that at least once, I would definitely do
that's,
it.
I've never seen Volbeat before.
So now you have.
And now I have, and I want to go see them when they're headlining.
And I've never been to a Packer game. I might want to go once, but man, I do not want to. I don't want to go more than that. Like, I just don't.
And dear God, do not want to go late in the season.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be able to get tickets now.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I want to go when, I mean, I think we're, yeah, I remember when Pecker, yeah.
God damn it. My brothers and I and my dad, the four of us, we went to Brett Favre's last game because he had announced he retired. We got tickets to the last home game. We went. We saw it. We're like, hooray, we have ticket stubs to Brett Favre's last game as a Packers. Fucker didn't retire like he said he would. So the next year, we went to the last home game of the Packers. Fucker didn't retire like he said he would. So we got really sick of going to the quote-unquote last Brett Favre home game.
Hey, but each one ended exactly the same way. Oh, interception.
I mean, that his last play with every team he's ever been with has been an interception. That's good times.
He's consistent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what coaches look for. Consistency.
Zappity.
Grumble. Jane or Spike?
Like Spike from Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
That's what I'm assuming.
And Jane? That's a bizarre. Well,
Jane. As a Jane from, Jane from Firefly.
Oh, with a Y. Jane.
The hero of Stan.
Yeah. Oh, the man Jane? They call
Jane. Jane. Yeah, Jane all the way.
I think Jane would kill Spike.
Yeah.
Spike has moments.
Jane would just not. Spike would be all spiky, and Jane would just shoot him in the face and then cut his head off.
It depends on if somebody has Jane already employed and under his control. Yeah,
I'm thinking.
I think Jane out by himself, he would be probably a very vicious mercenary.
And Spike changes a lot through the season, but I think any version of Spike is going to come on the wrong end of that match.
Yeah. I would agree.
I love Spike a ton, but he's not ending that
series. Unless the contest is which of them can rape more title characters and yet still be spun as a love interest, because Spike has done that more often.
That's only true. Once.
Yeah, well, that's more than
unless it's who can read the dressing files better, because then I'm in Spike's camp.
Yeah.
To be fair, she was asking for it.
Oh, God. Grumble, Marty Noxon. Fuck you, Marty Noxon.
So somebody's asking if we're going to do another faction in-depth podcast.
We've talked about it.
Probably. We need to get two of us together. We need to have Andy where he's home for a couple hours and just ignore us, and we need to sit in a room. I probably want to do one of those in the next month.
The issue is that nobody else wants to do it alone like I did.
Like, I would do it alone, but no one wants to listen to that.
Right.
No, people would. I think
they would. You're
if
fine.
If you want to, you can.
I would do Red or Legion easily, but I honestly don't know. I don't know that I can carry it by myself the way Nate did.
Right.
Like, that's my concern.
And so that's the concern, is a lot of people think they can't or don't want to, whichever.
But I would try.
And so that means we have to do a multi-person, and that means we have to have scheduling, because these are going to take 6-8 hours. I mean, the Convergence one took 4 hours, and it was Convergence, the smallest faction.
I mean, mine could descend. If I did it alone, it could descend like madness towards the end. I mean, I might be like pretending I might have two of me here by the end. I mean, I don't know what would happen after like 4 or 5 hours.
Here's an idea. This also could work into the supervision part, is we could do it this weekend coming up.
Supervision?
Well, Saturday. Well, no, never mind.
And also, you could poke your head out and like, hey, Andy, are you painting?
Yeah.
Because I'll be there to run the whole thing.
I will gladly power down your power cords for all your game systems.
No.
That would work. That would get it done.
I have been playing less of computer games, right? Because I started. Because
you've increased
Destiny.
PS4 games.
Yeah. That doesn't actually make a difference. I might try one of my factions by myself and see how it goes.
The idea right now that's been kicked around is Troll Jeff and I are going to do Troll Bloods, and we're going to make it into a drinking game.
I think if Jeremy did one alone, it would turn into a drinking game for someone else.
I think it would be drinking for everyone else.
I think you'd enrage so many people with 6 hours of Legion.
Oh, yeah.
It would be wonderful.
It'd be perfect, yeah. How many times will you moving on yourself?
A lot.
We could just call Fat Asian to do the Scorn one.
Well, you do need a good Scorn player after all.
Yeah, we do.
Zappity.
Rumble.
Yeah. Borderlands pre-sequel, yay or nay?
Yay! Oh, that video. Fuck you.
That 9-minute. Did you watch a 9-minute video?
I haven't.
With Hammerlock and Mr. Torg?
Oh, my That's God. Kind of fun, actually. I haven't watched that.
It is the most beautiful thing.
Well, because it's a 9-minute video, and it's with two characters talking, which means that 50% of it is Mr. Torg, so it's a 4.5-minute Mr. Torg thing.
Which is amazing.
And it's Hammerlock being the straight man to Torg.
Right.
Oh, so good. Reasons!
that was actually my text that I used for when I posted the video. It was just reasons.
Reasons!
I couldn't quote because there's a million of my
The ears. Abyss means it's also into you. Boom!
Zappity?
I'm going to go watch that again.
Grumble.
Was anyone kind of rooting against Keith this weekend?
Oh, I was told.
When he'd have to travel to the UK just to qualify for the War Machine weekend?
Well, considering the finals is him versus Josh Simpson, it means that there was no real good players there if those two made it to the
finals.
Weak tournament,
so it was a pretty
lame event. So, you know,
this was the gimme.
Yeah, this was a freebie for Keith because, you know, if Josh is his only blocker. You're welcome, Josh.
Keith has news that he hasn't even actually personally told us. So
he told me?
Yeah, he told you.
And he told Katie. He told both Katie and me.
Yeah. He didn't tell me.
Well, he did tell you, sort of.
He inferred it greatly.
He asked me something, and I was like, okay, I know where this is going.
Yeah. So technically, we don't know what's happening in Keith's life. So.
I think I just inferred it. No, yeah. Trust me, I inferred it before that gesture. Okay, I'm not an idiot, Jeremy.
Okay, good. Well, Zappity.
Bold statements are being made all day today.
I am in the top four intelligent podcast members on this podcast.
I do like that one comment about your thing. Is it could use more Brian to just insult you constantly. Do I insult you that much during podcasts?
Apparently.
I think you just irritate him, and so you get him more wound up.
Poke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Zavity.
Grumble.
P. Doomy, not runes. Or Calandra as a third warlock with E. Madrek and P. Grimm. Why does no one play Gunkor with Osram?
You are double asking snipe. A non-troll CRAs. Group that question.
Very pretty.
I'm going to say trolls.
P. Grimm, E. Madrek, Calandra were three of my favorite casters back when I played trolls. So my gut instinct is that could do well.
Yeah, P. Doomy is... Well,
he's saying P. Doomy or Calandra with E. Madrek and P. Grimm.
Right. Yeah. P. Grimm. Did I say... I meant to say Grimm. P. Grimm, E. Madrek, and Calandra. Okay. I played those three. Those were probably my go-to three when I played Trolls.
Okay. I like the E. Doomy or P. Doomy, but honestly, when you have three-point fucking rune shapers, so sexy.
Yeah.
He's... Yeah. But anyway, I don't know. Calandra is pretty solid.
Calandra's really solid. Starcrossed is a great spell. It's essentially +2 defense for your entire army.
It's almost a feat.
And it is almost a feat. It's so good.
Calandra's actually kind of the nuts against Legion.
Yeah.
Most people don't
because they don't like hit debuffs.
Yeah.
That thing is like suck for Legion. You can tell a really good War Machine player when they're playing against Legion with Boom Howler and they don't use Call of Defiance.
Yeah.
They go up and they Rage Howl. And, their opponent are like, what's that ability do? Because I've never seen a Boom Howler player do anything before plus tough. Good player. Now I was making this. You can tell mediocre players because they think Boom Howlers are a 4+ tough unit that you have to remind with no abilities. They're a 4+ tough unit with no abilities. Good Boom Howler players use Rage Howl when it fucking castrates their opponent.
Rage Howl is one of the worst things that has ever happened to me in a tournament with Legion, and it's happened to me many times.
As a scoring player, I love when the Rage Howl because they have so many hit buffs that I'm like, oh, thank God they didn't 4+ tough. Like, I don't care what.
Scoring couldn't possibly care. You also have 17 attacks.
That's what I'm saying.
It's the extra defense doesn't matter when they're on their ass. Yeah.
Well, because that one time that player accidentally did the rage against Legion, and he's like, man, he said the wrong thing and did it, and that was amazing. So he thinks, it's good against all horrors, so he does it against Scorn. No. Scorn's like, adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have ways to mitigate it. For Legion, Scorn, that is.
Legion does now. We do now. Abby 2, baby. Fixing all our problems.
Okay.
Wednesday, I'm going to play Arcadius Theme Force.
All right. Done.
Yeah.
There was some faction playing recently where somebody...
It's going to be psychosurgery. Somebody
had something
off.
Where they could just... Yep. I had some kind of ability that I had, and they could just get rid of it. I was taking my Cephalix versus somebody that could just give magic weapons to everybody.
Yeah.
I can't think of the caster's name. It was
faction?
There's several. I mean, anybody with Explosivo can do it.
No. They could give it to everybody in their entire...
Bradagus.
Bradagus
Thorold does that.
Whoever. Somebody does it.
But anyway, yeah.
And that was bad for you.
Where you can make it so you make all their range attacks into magical attacks. I'm like, well, if I'm still casting this thing...
Oh, you mean magic attacks? Because magical doesn't matter for Sacpon.
No, I'm not talking about Sacpon. You didn't let me finish.
Okay.
I was talking about casting... No, I forgot the fucking word I'm trying to use.
You cannot be targeted by non-magical range attack.
No, I'm talking about the bubble spell for convergence.
Decel?
Not convergence, deceleration. That's what I was thinking of. Is I cast that ability, and my opponent was like, well, I could just I could just shoot past that. And I'm like, well, you still have to cast that spell first.
You mean when? What?
That spell wouldn't get around.
Nothing gets around decel.
No.
Unless blessed.
If it's a magical gun,
it's
still a
that's
gun.
That's what I mean. He gave his entire army blessed.
That's still Bradagus. All
right. Okay.
It wasn't a signature.
That's fine. It's just giving your whole army blessed is very different than giving your whole army magical weapons. That's why we were confused.
That's what threw me off. I think it is Bradagus.
But you're right. You're right. Blast gets right past what you said.
Correct. And I can't remember what it was, who had it, but I was like, well, I'm still forcing you to cast that ability.
Yeah.
If, if you're going to try to shoot at me.
Well, it's kind of like even if you know your opponent's going to purify, it can still be worth it to cast an upkeep because make then they don't purify. Then they have to purify. Yeah. And yes, so,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah, order of activation is a thing.
Exactly. And it, yeah, it gets focused on the caster.
Grumble.
Yep, Zebedee Grumble. You can design one pin for PP. What is your concept? Mine is I want a Zerkova, and I want a chibi Zerkova that's holding an ice cream cone.
That's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, that would be cute.
Can I have a googly eye pin? Some googly eyes. Instead of chubis, it's googly eyes.
Googly eye pins would be amazing. I should have those as well.
I would actually like to see a Saren and Ryas together pin.
Well, and you could do the same thing with Gloria and Victoria.
Sure, but like I the one I would want is Saren and Ryas.
Is there, well, Gloria and Victoria, I'd have them scissoring.
I was being PC and say high-fiving.
With their vaginas.
Well, hey, you said it.
Is there a Reinhold pin yet? Because he's bloody famous, he is.
He is bloody famous, and there's not one yet.
I don't think there is one
yet. I would like Reinhold with him in the yellow slicker, like the Morton. It's not the Morton Salt, it's the fish sticks guy, because he looks like him.
The Gorton's Fisherman?
Yeah, he looks like the Gorton's Fisherman. With the spyglass and everything. I just want a Reinhold pin, damn it.
Yeah, pity.
Grumble.
Eggnog only for Christmas or bring it to every holiday?
It's gross.
Always, oh, forever.
Eggnog's the best.
Eggnog forever and always.
Tastes the worst.
Hey, Brian, remember that time when we went to go get an eggnog milkshake? You were sad.
Rum or straight?
Eggnog is yes. Really, really good.
Either is fine.
Yes, it's both eggnog. Are delicious. Also, rum chata.
Way too many calories.
Store-bought or homemade?
Store-bought. Homemade's a lot of work and goes bad very quickly.
Yeah, store-bought's good enough. Yeah, there are things where where homemade is better enough that it's worth doing homemade. I'm perfectly happy with store-bought eggnog.
Eggnog falls in the same group as sour mix. It is not worth the difference in flavor is not worth the amount of effort.
I don't believe rum makes you drunk anymore.
Yeah, you're immune to rum.
Yeah.
Challenge accepted.
Just get an IV drip.
Zabinies.
Grumbles.
Coolest based model to have painted for a club Secret Santa.
Coolest small-based model.
What did I say?
Coolest based model. I was trying to figure out what that meant.
I just skipped small.
Depends who's from. I mean, that's too vague. I mean, I don't know. It depends on the... If you Gorman? Paint someone cool as Gorman up in there...
Gorman's really cool.
Horde's Army. Horde's player.
No, not for
I mean, a lot of the small-based, like, epic casters back when they did, like, the cool scenic bases and everything are really, really sexy, and you can do a lot of stuff with them. Ashland's
alternate sculpt.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very, very cool.
I mean, it's all just find one who looks fine. Model pose looks cool to you.
If you just want one that you know they'll use and they play War Machine Eris 2.
Yeah, you just try to find.
I mean, she's a cool model. She's got the cool chimney thing going on, and they'll play her.
A lot of people cut the chimney off and put her on like a rock or a stump.
I've seen
something.
That. Yeah. I saw her on a tree stump that was really. I saw one that was done really well.
You've seen mine.
Is that yours?
The one that's in
Yeah, that's really good.
My retribution. Zavity.
Grumble.
Empire Records or Breakfast Club?
Breakfast Club is overrated.
Breakfast Club.
I watch Empire Records. I've heard this is a great movie. I watch it. I'm like, oh, this is kind of a waste of my time. Breakfast Club. I'm like, oh my god. While I was watching the first time, I'm like, yeah, this is amazing. And like, I realized the first time I watched a movie years ago, it was a classic.
Breakfast Club is still amazing. Like some classics hold up, and it holds up.
Zabity.
Gumball.
War Machine cosplay. Is that Jeremy's fetish?
No,
it's not.
It might be one of mine.
it might be tied to cosplay.
Not War Machine.
Not specifically War Machine.
It's not cosplay at all. Call yourself Zappity.
All of it. If you think about it, never mind. Let's not think about it.
Let's not think about it. How about
we're dropping some major bomb hits? Zappity Grumble.
Bong hits.
I did a really good hint on what it was to someone the other day, and it wasn't where their head Kitty was there, and she just giggled. I forget.
You did give a really good hint. I was there. I was there too.
Yeah, I just said they just zoomed right by them. They lost their chance at it because I pretty much just threw it right out at them.
They need to pay more attention to their surroundings and the people around them.
Yeah.
I think honestly, Nathan and I have talked about this too. Is
the majority
of everybody who's guessed, you're not close.
That's true.
Not even close. And
I think nobody's close.
When you actually find out about it, you'd be like,
oh, I do that.
Yeah, exactly.
I could turn it upside down, too.
Was that all of them? Was that Twitter and Facebook?
I don't know what Twitter had. Twitter had maybe like one.
It was one for
Travis.
Jeremy was on there.
Yeah, I was. I didn't realize the name.
While Jeremy's looking it up, we can rewind to Travis when we skipped, which is if you could follow a character around for one day, who would it be?
There's a bunch more. By the way, people should watch Dune Doctor Who. He's really good. I'm mostly there. I'm saying that partially to taunt Nathan because he hasn't watched it.
Fuck you.
But the new Doctor's cool. He's kind of insane.
Well, it's Peter Capaldi.
Yeah.
I was so excited when they announced Peter Capaldi. He was my second favorite possible choice.
A grumpy old insane doctor is so enjoyable.
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I like the old ones.
It's happy.
Grumble. Oh.
Any horror fans amongst you? If so, what's some favorite movies? Go.
The Descent, European Edition is Brian's.
The Descent is amazing.
Oh, that one is so good.
Cabin in the Woods for a more current one. Yeah. Honestly, when the original Scream came out, that was so good because it just turned like... Since Scream came out, there's been like 180 movies trying to be like Scream, and 180 of them have been bad, so it kind of like cheapens some of the quality of that kind of stuff.
You'll appreciate I had Raylene watch You're Next.
You're Next.
Which is great. It's a great... It's a comedy.
I need to...
It disguises itself.
I need to go over to Katie and have Katie watch. It's funny. It's
like Friday the 13th. Not Friday the 13th. It's like Halloween meets Home Alone. Because it's like, you know, here comes Michael Myers. He's going to kill this person. And then that person just hits him in the face with paint cans. And then puts a nail through their leg. And then pushes them out a window. And you're like, oh, poor Michael Myers.
Yeah. It is so enjoyable. What's the movie we saw in the theater, Katie, with the clown? It was there's a movie coming out that's based on that clown. The whole movie is coming out just focusing
it's not
on
a clown. It's a doll.
It was the Annabelle doll in Fimple Flapple, whatever it is. The one that claimed to be based on a true story because it's based on real people who lied and pretended things happened to them and were sued for it.
It was a really good movie. I still can't think of the name of it. I thought it was a really good horror movie. The New Evil Dead was good. I mean, these are all current. I mean, I can go watch like 80s horror movies. I mean, I'm a slasher film, like a good slasher film. It's an R-rated slasher film and violent.
I got my two favorite horror movies ever.
I mean, even Shaun of the Dead, who's a comedy slash horror, is amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, even the old like Phantasm, where this flying killer balls is just a ridiculous.
Just, as long as it's not just torture porn. Like, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, that's like not a horror movie. It's like, oh, that's somebody getting a chainsaw into their anus. Why am I watching this?
And I don't like the ones where they're trapped. Like, I'm trapped in a house and someone's coming.
That's why I like Cabin in the Woods, because it just kind of turns it on its side. But when I say Phantasm, does anyone know what that is?
There's
a new Phantasm was just made with the same old guy. He's still alive. The guy was like
the tall man?
The tall man. He was like 180 in like the early 80s.
Or he was like 25 with a terrible genetic disorder.
Yeah, it was just bizarre. That was the scariest thing I saw. He's like, he's still alive. Oh my God, he must be the devil.
Phantasm was great.
Yeah.
Andy, you had your two favorites you wanted to list.
My two favorite horror movies. Well, one is not really a horror movie. I'm
my first breath.
It's a Deadbeat.
No.
Whatever.
Nope. It is My Bloody Valentine in 3D.
That is great.
Because that was amazing to watch. And Piranha.
Horror movies 3D. In 3D done well are so ridiculously fun.
Piranha 3D and My Bloody Valentine in 3D they're my favorite. I don't like horror movies that much because I don't like being scared.
I made you watch all the...
But those were entertaining beyond belief.
What horror movies need to be...
What have we gone to like every year that I've got you? Paranormal Activity.
Paranormal Activity, yeah.
Yeah.
Those have been getting really shitty.
Yeah, really bad. They set it out fun, and they added this other element to it, but they only add like another minute to every episode. The story's gone nowhere, but I like those first couple movies.
One, like a less wacky fun one, but more just brutal... Like it's less fear and more just tension. Was one that really got to me was
tension.
No,
Blair Witch?
No. The Orphanage.
Here's the thing.
The Orphanage is the only horror movie I had to pretend I needed more popcorn so I could leave the room because I was so freaked out. I was like, I need a break. Because the thing, and I mentioned this, like horror movies, I liken them to like sex, where like they build up this tension, they build, and then they have the boo moment where you get your release and you're like, oh, you have your little scaregasm, and then they build up more tension, and then the boo moment.
Silent Hill did a good job of that.
The Orphanage was like a fucking lap dance because it built and built and built and built and built and not a goddamn thing happened, which because they were
building tension. Now when I get a lap dance.
Right. Right. They never actually
touched
it. Starts
with the boom. I got a problem.
Valid point. That's why you're banned from so many clubs. Yeah.
Ends with a cry.
But they kept the tension without letting you have the release, so it was like almost uncomfortably tense. That whole fucking movie. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, there are some horror movies.
It was tantric.
They get the creep value always going, or they build some are just like a slow, constant grind of just creepiness.
Grind.
Oh yeah.
Were you gonna say something?
And with the lap dance.
No, well, I was going to say about the Blair Witch. I like it's not that scary of a movie, but the first time I saw it, I fell asleep to it. And then it made my dream scary.
Here's the thing about Blair Witch. Blair Witch wasn't scary, and then I went camping 2 weeks later and was fucking terrified.
Oh, yeah.
It's like Psycho. Like, Psycho's not a scary movie. I still, to this day, when I shower, I shampoo as quickly as possible because I don't like having the shampoo in my eyes and feeling helpless if somebody at that moment burst in and tried to stab me to death. So for the rest of my life,
That's why I keep the door open and those things, so it's just constantly, I can see things coming from all directions.
That and your unbroken eye contact with Jordan. Yeah. Just like showering and staring.
Yeah, I'm in his bathroom, obviously, doing all this every single time.
No, I really like Blair Witch, the first one. It started off the whole,
kick
you know,
that stupid map into the river.
God,
I watched, there was an episode of Psych, the last season, where they made a kick of the map in the a reference joke. They were out in the woods, and they made a reference to that. Oh, I was like, that's amazing.
In the river.
I think that's fucking useless.
Yeah.
Kick that map into the river. You what?
That was such a funny scene. The ending of that movie, because it built all about, you know, in the corner. For some reason, that movie freaked me out. That movie, like, for days freaked me out. It got some sort of, like, just right into my brain. And it just, like, it irritated me.
It worked well for what it was.
Yeah.
For what it was. So, I mean, there was a lot of build.
But we have it to blame for all this found footage shit.
Yeah.
But when I don't know. There's so many types of different horror movies. There's your shock. Obviously, none of it's like torture porn is pretty lame in general. But then there's your general slash effect. Then there's your ghost. And there's there's a million types of horror movies.
I don't like ghost films generally.
I don't like, despite the hating the slasher flick, I will give a tip of the hat to Hostel 2. Because I liked the fact that the main characters were the villains, not the victims. I liked the focus on the villains. It was just kind of an interesting way to spin it. It still was just, look at all the blood flying out. Are you entertained? Well, not really. I'd rather have something. But at least Hostel 2 spun it and had that interesting take on it.
As much as I don't like
Saw movies are terrible.
Saw 2. I watch all the Saw movies because my mom loves the Saw movies, so I have to watch them. Luckily, they're done now. But Saw 2 I thought was clever because the whole gimmick is he puts you in a trap. You have to, like, mute yourself to get out of the trap. In Saw 2, there was a group of, like, 6 people in a trap in these traps. And every time they got a new trap, you know, they have to do, someone would die, they'd move on. But when you get to the last trap, you realize every single trap was designed where if they all took a little bit of pain, they would have all advanced. Because the very last trap was, you know, each person has to give like a pint of blood, and each person can lose a pint, but one person can't lose, you know, five pints. So at every and then they go, wait a minute, and they thought about it, and they showed how every single trap, if they would have worked as a team, could have just easily went through the entire system, but because of human nature, just fucked them all over.
So they're like the American team for the...
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah. Ooh, call that. But no, that's the reason I nice. Thought that was clever in the Saw movie.
That was true.
But they are not good movies.
Well, I mean, I was liking the first one until the very fucking end, and then I was so angry. Here's the choose-your-own-adventure that I always pose to people. If there is a phone ringing and you want to get to that phone, do you A, take off your windbreaker and use it as a crude lasso or net to retrieve the item like you did a half hour earlier already, or B, sever your fucking leg?
That's a shame. I'd always sever the leg.
Yeah. I mean, why would you use your jacket like a crude net or lasso the same way you already fucking did instead of murdering yourself and dying?
I did, yeah.
Why give him the fucking windbreaker? Why have him use it as a net? Why have the phone be within reach? Like, why? How is your writing that shitty that you don't see that stupid fucking plot hole ruin your stupid fucking movie?
I always wonder in a movie if the actor's like, guys, why don't I just do that? Because you can't. I mean, sometimes I understand people in stress make mistakes because the whole point is the person's freaking out and they don't have time to make the right decision because shit's gone down and they're not thinking straight.
I'd be okay with him not using the jacket if he had a half hour earlier.
Well, it's one of those things that takes you out of the movie and all of a sudden your suspension of disbelief is gone because it seems like he would also pass out from the pain.
Oh, he does. He cuts his leg off. He's like, oh, this is terrible. No, then he just dies like instantly.
Like, he wouldn't be able to get through the entire thing. Like, he would...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, his body would shut down before
I thought it was cool when the body stood up, though. I thought that was... Like, if they would have had the things around it be cool,
It was all ruined by the stupid... not just using his goddamn jacket, which, again, either just don't give him a jacket, or I can even just say, well, that guy was an idiot if he doesn't do it, if they hadn't already done it earlier in the film.
Because he understood that using a jacket to pull things worked.
Yeah. Like, why would you make a point of it? Oh, fuck you, guy who made Saw.
Yeah.
And all the fucking money you have.
Yeah, fuck you and all that wealth you have.
All the money you roll around in. Zappity. Oh,
so much more money.
Wow. But yes, I like horror movies.
Scotty DeHottie 24, you broke the internet. Good job.
Well, that's like asking what's your favorite Dresden Files book or, you know, like that would have exploded as well.
Now that's going to happen next week.
No, we're going to have a Dresden Files podcast.
We need to do 4 books at a time.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That'd be great.
All right. Can you stop the metal?
You can't.
No.
No.
Jazz tried to stop the metal.
I've not tried.
But it was smote.
Zappity.
Grumble.
What is the best act of trolling that you have ever witnessed?
Jamaica shit. Jamaica, yeah, okay, day good. Two saw a snail killed me.
I don't know. I was going to say the tournament pairings at the Mayhem Cup a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that was a conspiracy. Conspiracy. I am a fucking tool.
Even my mom was showing someone on my Facebook page this week.
It's wow. Great.
Must just run the geesey blood.
I got multiple messages from multiple people, which, by the way, thank you. When you see someone's mom posting your page, you have to alert them. Shit's getting real.
Your mom is posting.
Warning, we don't know where it's going. Keep an eye on the shit. But it all worked out well.
It did.
Grumble.
Grumble. Who would you egg?
Who haven't I egged?
Like a person?
Jordan.
Apparently.
100%. He'd be so angry, too. Like, that's the only person I could think of that would be pissed off enough for it to make me, like, worth my time.
And wouldn't see it coming because he doesn't listen to his podcast.
That's true.
The best part is Brian would be able to tell me his reaction.
I'd not egg Madonna egg with a rock.
Like, egg him specifically.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The person. Like, I'd egg Madonna with a rock.
No,
I thought you meant the house.
Like, no.
I think when you say egging someone is egging their house.
I just think kill Madonna. Or vehicle or something like that.
You can know? I egg someone's house and then kill Madonna?
No.
I mean, you could just kill Madonna.
You could just kill
can
Madonna.
Can I?
Yeah. Go
okay.
For it. I mean, you'll go to jail.
Can I with the knot, though?
If you don't get caught.
Don't tell anyone you want to kill Madonna.
Oops.
No, like anyone's listening.
Exactly.
I have a list. I don't share it.
Oh, yeah.
Grumble.
It's a long list.
Is the Space Hulk game worth playing?
I just bought it.
Space Hulk is a perfectly, yeah, no, it's
you want to buy it for the $112 it costs now. You want to sell it in 3.5 years for $250 to $400. You don't want to wait 4.5 years.
That's what people said for it, yeah.
Well, every four, it's going to probably be reprinted every 5 years. So you got to know the sweet spot. You got to buy it. In about 3 to 3.5 years, someone's going to need it really bad, and you resell it for the $250, $300 or whatever. It's also very good. The quality of that board game that they put out is amazing. The tiles are thick. The gameplay's fun. It's two players. It's simple. But it's a really, it's a fun, simple, GW makes standalone games great.
That's what I'm saying. As with all GW games that you're able to spend $100 or so on and then never spend another penny, it's really, really good and they won't support it. Because that's what they do to things like Necromunda and
Warhammer. And that box is extraordinarily high quality.
Space Hulk is a really, really fun two-player game.
Yep.
That is it is a great board game. It's not a minis game. It's a board game and it's solid.
I might, even though mine might sell in a couple years for money, I might open my copy. Because I know how much fun it is.
But you and I have so many other two-player games.
That's why it's still staying still.
That's why it's a maybe. Andy? Jeremy?
No, I haven't played it, so I don't know.
Oh, well, no, you were having a conversation. Yeah, yeah. Should we just zappity?
Zappity.
Okay.
Grumble. Is Triple Earthbreaker Gorton as fun as it seems, Andy?
Yeah.
Zappity.
It's one of those lists that's like, you know, an 8 or 8.5 out of 10 for fun and an 8.5 out of 10 for competitive. So it manages to be both, so it's worth running.
Yeah, if your opponent can't deal with them, it's not really that fun for them, but it's fun as hell to play.
Well, hence the skew. I mean,
it's a skew.
It's a great skew.
It is.
I mean, I always rant about skew, but I play skew because I think it's needed right now. But
yeah,
I mean,
I agree. That's how you win right now.
Because, I mean, it's a skew list and it's fine. I don't want to like to say I didn't like Andy's list.
Go to bed, old man.
I'm just saying, I play skew.
Zappity.
Grumble.
Crippled System goes down under in 2016. How do you plan on dealing with the drop bears?
Those guys love saying drop bears.
They do love saying drop bears.
As soon as you catch a snipe, we'll be good.
That will be good. Okay.
I don't know. I'm really.
Well, now you're immune to spiders. So
yeah. Well, the whole. I'm so debating. I need to really. I'm looking at my finances to do it, and it's like, man, I just have to. Not if I go to if I do Australia 2016. I don't do Gen Con next year. I don't do another con next year. I basically go to War Machine.
You skip
weekend.
2015.
I skip
to do
2015 to do 2 weeks in or 2.5 weeks.
In Australia.
In Australia for in that year. And it still might be worth
even
it.
Even if, like, can't we, like, find someone whose house we can crash at?
Well, the thing is, we do have hotels. People whose house we can crash
if at. Yeah. But if I win just for the tournament weekend, we could find a place to crash. I'm not going to go to Australia and just spend a weekend there. I want to spend a weekend there, then I want to travel Australia.
Because that's the problem, is you don't want to, like,
I'd stay with Chunky for 3 weeks.
But, I mean, I want to
travel. But he won't want to travel around.
Yeah, he's
no, I'm going to stay. I'll stay with Chunky for 3 weeks.
You'll just hang out at Chunky's place?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I can afford, you know, the two to three weeks of travel.
They can bring other things. Like, I'll be at Chunky's and I'll be like, somebody bring me a koala. And they have to bring a koala. And they'll be like, now bring me a kangaroo. And they'll bring a kangaroo.
When did Nathan become an imperial king?
No, Australia is a want. I just don't. I need to really. I will be making a decision before I need to make a register for Gen Con next year. Because if I register for Gen Con next year, then I'm not going to Australia. If I decide to back out of Gen Con, then I can start making Australia plans.
We saw your name like everywhere this weekend.
Yeah,
like,
the way Hoffman was Estates, everywhere in Chicago
Hoffman
for some reason.
Oh yeah, Hoffman Estates. Oh yeah, yeah.
Hoffman
yeah.
Concrete.
They spell it wrong though, with one N.
Hoffman Concrete.
But I, when I lived down in Illinois, people like I'd be like, you know, Hoffman, like, oh, do you live in Hoffman Estates? So I killed a lot of people.
Again, something you shouldn't mention on
air.
Metaphorically, Zappity? I killed a lot of people.
They don't find the bodies; they're not dead.
Grumble. And the final question. The final question is: Chain Attack Trevor. Completely agreeing with everything Brian said about character restrictions. So I would just like to say that officially it's happened. Brian and Trevor have taken the same stance at the same time on something related to War Machine.
Is that him typing it out, or did he just say, for the record, I agree with whatever Brian just said about character restrictions?
Discuss why character restrictions are outdated, unneeded, uneven, and not good for the game. See, I can ask loaded questions that support my viewpoint as well.
That's hilarious.
So the world is broken. I no longer know what reality is. Brian and Trevor agree on something at the same time about War Machine.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
They really... I must not have been paying attention during that team event at Gen Con. Like, apparently they went in the back room and bonded.
Mm-hmm. They worked things out.
Things worked out. There was a lot of stress in their
except
relationship.
For the pumpkin issue, but
and now there's less stress in their relationship now, is all I'm saying.
Zappity.
That's it. Rumble. That's all we got.
We're done.
Recommendations.
Cornucopia.
I don't know what that is.
Sleep. It's called Concordia.
Well, it's coming up on Thanksgiving, so, you know, we'll need a cornucopia.
That's true. It's cool decoration.
Who has a recommendation?
I have a recommendation, but it's of an old thing and that most people have already seen, but whatever. So I was thinking about Lucy, the movie, and how annoying it was and the things I would do to fix it. And one of the big things was change the ending, blah, blah, blah. And then it occurred to me that if I did all of that, it would just be Akira. So everybody should watch Akira because Akira is an amazing fucking movie.
Except for the last hour and a half should be 14 minutes. But other than that.
Yeah, it does. It is longer than it needs to be. It takes its time, which can bug some people more than others. Although, to be fair, we now live in a world where Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies are 2 hours long. Transformer movies are
taking
3 hours
its time
long.
Is one thing, but the last segment should just be shorter.
Yeah,
that's right. I just
Tetsuo
Kaneda. I remember Tetsuo! Enjoying that movie up until oh my god, just fucking.
I will agree with that. That's a fair point. It's still a damn good movie that deserves to be seen. And it's old enough that I think a lot of people haven't seen it, and a lot of people who have seen it probably saw it 15 years ago when they first learned about the concept of anime and haven't watched it again. So just watch Akira,
or if you really need to get to understand some Japanese animation, just get Legend of the Overfiend and show it to your family.
Tsukidoji.
Right, Ryan?
He listens to your,
now, which is funny.
I had a Yura Tsukidoji T-shirt. And it was great because it said Yurotsukidoji, and it had a picture of the werewolf with like a glow coming from below, and it was only, he was cut off like at the rib cage, it was just like his torso, and this blue glow was coming, and so it was great. I'd be walking around wearing that T-shirt, and I could tell people who knew number one what the movie was, and number two what was glowing, and I'm like, ah, caught you. You watch porn with monsters with glowing dicks in it. It was a great trap shirt.
Zappity.
Nobody else is recommending anything. I'll talk. She recommended
Concordia. It's still called Concordia. I'm going to recommend playing video games co-op with other people.
Yeah,
we've talked about it with Destiny. We talked about it at Borderlands 2. We've talked about it. I mentioned offhand that you guys play Lords of Waterdeep. Like, I don't care what kind of game you like. It's more fun if you play with people than robots. Like, play a shooter with people. Play a strategy game with people. Play a board game that you're playing online with people.
Even bad video games are fun if you have a group.
Yes. Like, some of the comments I've seen about Destiny is like, oh, there's this area where, like, the best way to gear up from 20 to 25 is, like, there's lots of arguments, but one of the popular ones is the Treasure Cave. I don't know if you guys have heard about it.
I have no idea what it is.
It's a cave that if you stand at a certain line and you're behind that line, the enemies just constantly spawn out of the cave, and you shoot them and shoot them and shoot them and shoot them and shoot them. Oh, I'm out of ammo. Go grab just shit tons of loot, run back to the line, shoot them and shoot them and shoot them and shoot them and shoot them.
So the spawn line is, that'll get, I'm sure that'll get patched.
Well, maybe, but at the moment it's not, and it's the fastest way to gear from 20 to 25. And you'll go, like, I went there this morning, early this morning, because I had like an hour to kill, and there were like four guys just there, and none of them were in a fire team together. They were just there, and it's easier if you have more than one person because it's hard to catch all the spawns, and if some of them get out of the cave, then until you kill them, the cave doesn't respawn, and stuff gets messed up. At any rate, it, the idea of it is boring as hell to do by yourself. And I did it this morning for like a half hour, 40 minutes. I was like, I'm done. But like other people have told me that they did it for like 3 hours and just had fun doing it. Because they were just like, you're just like talking to your friends and shooting monsters in the face. Like, what's more fun than talking to your friends and shooting monsters in the face?
It would be like any boring task while you're hanging. It would be like having a painting night where four of you are sitting there painting your models and just shooting the shit.
Where my skill in MMOs online come out. I can sit in a spot for 27 hours alone killing the same mob again and again and again until my fucking item drops. So if you think it takes only 4 hours, only 30 minutes, an hour.
You pulled the South Park of max leveling in World of Warcraft just by killing badgers.
No, he was looking for the Crusader enchant. The
Crusader enchant. And there's other enchants. There's other things that I would farm. I mean, I have farmed shit for days.
So would you agree that that task would have been more fun if you just had a friend there with you?
I'm chatting in MMOs it's even worse because you have to whoever takes it first. So then you have to deal with Chinese farmers who are trying to get it to sell.
Right, which isn't a problem. That's one of the great things, FYI, just side rant about Destiny, is if something gets killed and you're near it, gear and ammo and everything is dropped uniquely. So you kill that monster. Maybe I get something and Brian gets something, but I can't pick up his thing and he can't pick up mine.
That was one thing I really liked about Diablo 3. Diablo 3 was the first loot and grab game I'd seen that did that.
Yeah.
And so I was excited about that.
And this one, and I don't remember if Diablo 3 did it this way, you get the same experience whether I'm the one that shoots it in the face or Brian does.
Yeah.
So like I like that about Destiny a lot. Yes. So at any rate, play games with other people. They're way better that way. Even online games.
Right.
Andy got nothing.
I am going to recommend a board game as well. I meant to recommend
a board game too.
Sons of Anarchy, Men of Mayhem. It is made by Gale Force 9.
So you know it's amazing.
They are an amazing company for board games. Spartacus, amazing. Firefly, the board game with expansions, amazing. And this game is fun. It takes less than 90 minutes to play. It takes about 5 minutes to explain. It's a very cutthroat, violent game against each other. I've played it a few times. It's still they're able to capture the theme of the game and of the show without having that which you don't need to know that to play it well. But if you know it, you can appreciate the way the game plays. It's a fun game. Maybe at some point I'll talk about it more. But it's just a fun. It's worker placement with combat. Basically, it's like, oh, you took that spot I really wanted. I'm going to send my gang there and take you off of it. Which I think is a fun extra element. And it's got treachery and all sorts of things, and you can, you know, gang up and screw each other over.
All right.
I'm going to snipe and make a second recommendation.
Okay.
Sorry, because I meant to recommend this, and I forgot about it. And I'm going to recommend it. I only played it once, but I really enjoyed it. And Brian even, he hated it first, and then he talked to me afterwards. I'm like, you know, that game was way better than I thought it was. There's a game called Heroes Wanted that looks like a goofy, crappy, like wacky party game, but it's disguising a surprisingly deep Euro game inside of it. And I think that's kind of masterful because you can trick people who don't like playing Euro games that have like strategy and stuff in them into playing them because it looks super wacky, but it's surprisingly good. Like, it's not worker placement, but you're like heroes and you're moving around like doing heroic actions and stuff like that. Yeah, you're crap heroes. Like, the mission we played was we were stopping a guy from littering. So you were following him around, picking up his litter. And you were also, like, punching his sidekicks and stuff. But the evil villain's plan was just to litter a lot. And so, I mean, but it really is like it was hiding the fact that you were moving your worker from point A to point B, and then you were doing an action of a certain kind to collect certain value commodities and stuff like that. But you were wacky heroes doing stuff. And there were different strategies involved. Like, Brian actually was kind of disheartened because he and his buddy were fighting each other, and his buddy knocked Brian out and got the victory points for knocking him out. Meanwhile, I just ignored them, and I did something else on the other side of the board, and I ended up winning. So it had multiple paths to victory, and it has super replayability because you get a random hero, and the hero is one card from the adjective deck and one card from the noun deck. So you might be, like, Danger Mongoose or Invisible Python or Flying Police Officer, and each of those things has stats to them. And so there's huge replayability, and it also is just whack looking, but it's surprisingly deep strategically. I really want to play that again. I super liked it.
I'm going to second recommend another iPad game called Star Realm. It's a deck building game. It's very similar to Ascension, except you don't win by the most victory points. You win by killing your opponent. Ryan challenged me to an online game thinking he would kick my ass in our first game, and I kicked his ass. You're welcome, Ryan.
I also want to recommend continuing to recommend things as Andy gets more and more annoyed at the podcast.
He's just sad. He wants to go to bed.
He just wants to go to bed.
Great iPad game.
I'm just going to hit stop eventually.
Zappity.
Grumble.
I liked The Awesomes quite a bit.
The Awesomes? I think you recommended that already.
I recommended it.
Oh, you did.
And then she was like, oh, I'll check it out. And she really liked it.
I think Eddie's stopping this.
I think he is.